ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणी. विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वतीति नामिने. श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दैदाय कृपाब्दये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः. माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाद्या श्रीरोगानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते. नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुभविरुद्धापसिद्धान्तध्वान्तहारिणे. नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद्वैराग्यमूर्तये वरसाम्भोदे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः. नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपानुगवराय ते. गौराविर्भवभूमेस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रिय वैष्णवा सार्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः. वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्वशे नमः. पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्रियं. हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. सुरतो भङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदेर्गति मत्सर्वस्व पदाम्भोजौ राधा मदनमोहनौ. दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमादौ श्रीमन्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमद्राधा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि. श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भी वंशीवटतटस्थित कर्षन्वेणुस्वनेर्गोपेर्गोपिनाथाश्रयेऽस्तुन तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन घृतिताम् पुराणमुनिनाम् मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी. नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुलारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप. प्रपन्नपारिजाताय त्वोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः. सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महद्. वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसच्चामूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्. विष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशवा. പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ ഹേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സംഗപദൈർക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ The last two chapters which we read yesterday, 16 and 17, one of Krishna's important pastimes in the Bhagavatam called Kaliya Mardhanam, the subduing of Kaliya. So here you will notice one thing, that every day when they went to the forest, Krishna and the cowherd boys, several wonderful things were happening there, which Shukam Brahma Rishi mentions there, that I can't say everything what happened. Some of the things, important ones which came up in his thoughts, that's what he is saying in the Bhagavatam. Not everything. Some of the incidents, what happened in the forest, Krishna and the cowherd boys, and that is what you will notice there, that once upon a time it happened, he said like that, that Yayo Ramamrade Rajan, in the 15th chapter, Evam sa Bhagavan Krishna, 47th verse, 15th chapter, Evam sa Bhagavan Krishna, Vrindavana Jare Kojil, Yaya Uramamrade Rajan, Kalindim Sakhibhir Vradaha. Shukam Brahma Rishi is saying there that on a particular day, Balram didn't go with them. And there was a special reason behind that. Something happened, Balram had his birthday or something. Rohini said to Balram, "You stay back today." Yeah. Rohini says, today Rama, Balram need not go to the forest. Krishna took that opportunity. This is the right time. What he wanted to do. So he decided that let today be the day when to kick Kaliya out from there. There's a subtle reason behind it. Kaliya and Balram belongs to the same family. Kali and Balram belongs to the same family, isn't it? Balram is Adishesha in the spiritual world. He wouldn't like it if one of his family members is hit hard, like the way Krishna was planning to do. So therefore, both belongs to the same family. Relationship is still there in Balram also. So one who is a member of the family, if Krishna goes and start kicking him left, right in the middle, then the brother may not like it. So he thought that this is the right time. So when he left home that day, Krishna goes and asks Yashoda Devi, "You are telling me that I shouldn't go to the place where Kaliya is living. Where does he live?" He said, You used to tell me that he has got 1,000 heads and he's a huge snake lying in the Kalindi river. Where exactly does he live?" Yashoda Devi tells him that don't go there, anywhere closer to that. Yashoda is always concerned about Krishna. She's saying that don't go there, because if you go there, I heard that even birds, and nobody goes there normally, and even birds when they fly, they drop down with the poison there. And so Krishna says to Yashoda, unless you tell me where he is, I may go there by mistake. So unless you tell me where he is, how will I know? Says. So Yashoda told him that I am only asking you for that reason. Krishna says to Yashoda, I am only asking you for that reason. Already he knew where he is and what he is doing. Everything is known to him. Still he says to Yashoda like this. So Krishna says to all the friends that today we will go to the forest in another area without telling you about that, about the Kaliya's presence there. They got there and suddenly they all felt tremendous thirst. They wanted to drink water. Suddenly they felt this thirst inside. So naturally when the river is flowing, it's not like the Yamuna that's flowing today, Krishna's time. So the water was very clean and cool water. So they all picked up a lot of water from that river and drank that, and all of them dead. Lie dead there. So when Krishna got there, this is the situation. And Ichaya Amrita Varshinya says in the Bhagavatam. See that? 50th verse in the 15th chapter. Ichaya Amrita Varshinya Sonanathan Samajivayat. They all, by just by looking at them, Amrita Varshini. Amrita Varshinya means that nectarian way of looking, Krishna's looks. By the looks alone, they all woke up from their death condition. Krishna took his uttariyam, the second cloth, tied it around his waist, climbed onto the tree there, which was there, and clapped his hands and jumped into the water. Jumped into the water. And the if you look at that 16th chapter, it will see that how he that when he jumped into the water, the amount of noise it has created and the amount of water that has come out from the river by Krishna's increasing the weight. Brahman Bhagavadastasya, third verse. Brahman Bhagavadastasya Bhumna Swachandavartinaha Gopala Udara Charitam Kastrupyeda Amritam Jushan. Kalindyam Shrishako Vaja Kalindyam Kaliyasya Sil Hrida Kashul Vishagnina Shrapyamanabaya Yasmin Padanduberika Khagaha Viprushmada Vishadorvar Marudena Bhimarshidaha Mriyande Tiragayasya Praninas Tirajangamaha. That the weight that is created, Krishna has increased his weight. When he increased the weight, naturally it was a heavy flood in the water because of the weight that he has created. And the water overflow everywhere, and Kalyan sensed there is something happening in the water. You can see in the 8th verse, Tasya Hrade, in the 16th verse, chapter, Tasya Hrade Viharado Bhujadanda Khurnam Vaghoshamangavaravarana Vikramasya Ashutyadal Susadana Bibhavam Niriksha Chachushrava Samasaratadam Rishyamana Susadanadi Bhavam Niriksha. That something has happened in the river, Kaliya thought. Kaliya thought something has happened in the river. And Kaliya's poison, due to that, all the birds, the animals, they normally used to die and fall into the river. And Kaliya used to eat all those animals and the birds what fell into this river. So Kaliya thought something like that has fallen into the river. This is how Kaliya thought about this. With his thousand hoods, he put them up and he started looking in the water everywhere. When he came out of the water, from inside the water, when he came out with his thousand hoods, opened up everything, what he saw there was a little boy is playing in the water, swimming here and there. Kaliya got upset, seeing, you know, the snake's nature. Kaliya went and bit him straight away. Went and bit him. So with that, his desire to bite anybody has gone. That was the last thing he could, what happened. Because when he bit Krishna, he didn't know what he was biting. He didn't know what he was biting. Most of his teeth got broken by biting Krishna. He got more angry at that time. You can imagine, while we are eating rice, suppose there is a stone in that. You are enjoying the rice nicely. suddenly if you bite a stone in the middle of that, how you get angry to yourself, how you feel angry with yourself, isn't it? So same thing happened to Kaliya also. Kaliya did not appreciate that very much. And immediately due to anger, Kaliya put his body all around Krishna and tied him down, very strongly tied him down. So Krishna was lying inside Kaliya's coiled form. He was lying inside, and Krishna likes lying on the snakes. Used to that in the Vaikuntham, isn't it? In Vaikuntham, Krishna loves to sleep on the snake. That is, he's used to that. So it was not unusual for him to have this experience. So after leaving Vaikuntham, he has not had that opportunity to do that. So he comfortably was lying inside Kaliya and lying on him. So when all this was happening, there were some bad omens in Vrindavanam. All the cowherd men and Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, they all noticed that. And they, seeing that something has gone wrong because of these bad omens that was happening, they all came over looking for Krishna. And some people, when they got there, they saw the situation that Krishna was lying inside Kaliya, tying him around and lying there. Some of them wanted to jump into the water to save Krishna. And altogether, it was a scene which Shiva Brahma, she says in the Bhagavatam, that it was unbearable to watch. Many of them were crying. All the gopis and Yashoda Devi, they were all crying seeing this. And some of them wanted to jump into the water and bring Krishna from there, no matter what it happens. Altogether, everybody was crying there. And they are all standing on the river bank and watching this situation there. Krishna lying, Kaliya tying him down with his body. So Krishna thought at that time, it's not proper to put them into this distress. And he has tied me very tight coiled way. So Krishna started expanding his body. Therefore, Kaliya couldn't do anything. He had to grow. The body was becoming expanding himself. Kaliya had to expand because Krishna was expanding from inside. Otherwise, Kaliya will break. So naturally, the pressure was so much from inside, from Krishna's body, that Kaliya had to expand himself. So suddenly, when the body has expanded, Krishna suddenly brought it back to the smaller size and escaped from Kaliya's grip. Came out from the Kaliya's grip. And that happened, Kaliya got very angry with Krishna. And he lifted his head to bite Krishna. So what happened? It was at that time when Kaliya wanted to bite Krishna and lifted one of his hoofs, Krishna jumped on top of that. When he jumped on top of that and kicked Kaliya, Kaliya thought, I have 1,000 of them. Let me start putting somebody else, some other hood to bite him. So every time when Kaliya lifted a hood, Krishna will put the feet on that. Like this, Krishna started the dance on Kaliya's head, on Kaliya's different hoods. Seeing this, Shukha Brahma, she says in the Bhagavatam, that this Bharatanatyam and all other dancing system has started from Krishna actually. Akhila Kaladi Gurur Nanartha. You will see a word there, mentions about 26th verse. Padambujo Akhila Kaladi Gurur Nanartha. That is the title Shukha Brahma she has given to Krishna. Akhila Kaladi Gurur Nanartha. All arts, dance, music, everything, he is the Guru. Padambujo Akhila Kaladi Gurur Nanartha. That is how he got that title. Krishna got Akhila Kaladi Gurur Nanartha. So this Kaliya Mardhanam has actually brought out this particular aspect of Krishna, that out of the 64 arts, you will see about Krishna mentioned in the Nectar Devotion also, that art, Krishna is the supreme of all of artists, supreme of all the artists. And Kaliya mentioned in that time that every time he got a kick from Krishna on the head, his ego was going down. Kali has got thousands of hoods, and every time he brought another one, Krishna jumped on top of that. So each and every hood that came up, Krishna kept kicking that with his feet. After some time, what happened? Because it was going so fast, the hoods were coming up so fast, and Krishna was jumping on top of that also very fast. Some point, people were thinking that Krishna is on all the hoods, standing there. And from the sky, and the demigods were showering flowers also. They were playing music in the sky, and the drums and conch shell, and they were relishing this dancing of Krishna on top of Kaliya. So Krishna asked Melpattur this. About in the Bhagavatam you will mention this also, that Melpattur, how did you like that dance, what I did that day? Melpattur answered that with the verses. He wrote those verses in this Kaliya Mardanam in the Narayanim. If you look, you will find there. It's like a dancing tune. Athavarini ghora dharam bhaninam prativarayitam kratadir bhagavan. Exactly like a dancing music. Music to suit the dance. That is how it is in the Narayanam. Rudam. A whole thing is a dancing style. Krishna enjoyed that. That when another devotee said, telling Krishna that they have not forgotten that dance, what Krishna has done that day. So, so it was at that time, Kaliya felt that he wanted to just Krishna to leave him. Because the kicking was so hard, you can imagine. Krishna's Aishwarya Siddhis, isn't it? And it is a snake that he has to deal with. So, Kaliya thought at that time that if I can drop him out from the head somehow, escape from this kick what he was getting, but it is not possible. At that time, Kaliya thought logically what he should do. He thought, I got a big tail at the back. And from back, if I can bring the tail and smash Krishna from the back. He didn't know that Krishna's got eyes at the back as well. This is the difficulty. In many pastimes you will observe these things. That Kaliya thought that he will hit him from the back so that he will fall into the water. Kaliya lifted his tail and hit Krishna from the back. As soon as the tail got closer, Krishna saw that. And he didn't know that. Kaliya didn't know that. That is why when we do things also, we think Krishna is only seeing us from the front. Therefore, we go at the back of Krishna and start doing things behind Krishna. But we don't know that Krishna's got eyes at the back, which can see better than the eyes in the front. So, Kaliya didn't know this. So, when the tail came closer to Krishna, suddenly Krishna took the left hand and caught all of the tail from the backside. And Krishna thought that this is more convenient now. I got something to hold on to. You know, so particularly, Kaliya lying in the water for so long, the body has become very slippery. And he could slip. So Krishna is saying that it is nice to hold something on. And after holding the tail, he pulled out his flute from the right hand. And then he played the flute. Standing in top of Kaliya's hoods, holding the tail with the left hand, and with the right hand holding the flute, Krishna started playing the flute. And after a while, with that kicks that Krishna's given, he started vomiting the blood. Blood started vomiting. So he couldn't handle it anymore. Kaliya couldn't bear it anymore. So it was more or less certain that Kaliya is going to die at that time. So at least at that time, Kaliya's wives came and glorified Krishna. Nagabatni is there. Kaliya's wives, they came in. And there, the wife said that what you have done is very much justified. You deserve it. Kaliya deserves it. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this Kaliya's Nagabatni is, you will see that, 33, verse 33, in the 16th chapter. Nyayo hi, they begin like that verse. Nyayam, it is justified. Nyayo hi danda കൃതകിൽഭിഷേസ്മിം തവാവതാരം ഖല നിഗ്രഹായ രിപോസുദാനാമപി തുല്യദൃഷ്ടേ അൽധർസേധമം ഫലമേവാനു ശംസൻ. തവാവതാരം ഖല നിഗ്രഹായ, യുവർ അപ്പിയറൻസ് ഈസ് ഫോർ കില്ലിംഗ് ദീസ് കൈൻഡ് ഓഫ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റീസ്, സോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ജസ്റ്റിഫൈഡ് വാട്ട് യു ഹാവ് ഡൺ, ദേ സേ ടു ഹിം. ആൻഡ് what is justified is what you have done. That is what they told him. Because your appearance here is to subdue this demoniac nature in people. And this Kaliya, wives are saying to him, Kaliya is a very wicked person. He's a very wicked person. And on one hand, it is right, Kaliya is a very bad person. But Shuga Brahmarshi is saying here that who else is more fortunate than Kaliya? Who else is more fortunate than Kaliya? There's a say there. Kasyanubhavosya. 36th verse. Kasyanubhavosya na deva vidmahi tava angri renu sparsha adhikara yadvanchaya shrir lalana jarattavo vihaya kaman sujiram dhudavradaham. Tavangrirenu sparshadhikara. From Lord Brahma onwards, all other demigods, they want to carry a small particle from the dust from your lotus feet in their head. They desire that, padarenu. But this Kaliya is so fortunate that Krishna has walked over top of his head so many times, dancing on top of his head. Who else had this fortune like this? Who else had this fortune like Kaliya had? But even though it is like that, please don't kill him. Please don't kill him. For our sake, we will have no husband if he is killed like that. So that's why they are mentioned there. You can look at the 52nd verse in the 16th chapter. Anugrahaneshu Bhagavan Pranam Syajati Pannaga Strinam Na Sadhu Shochyanam Pati Prana Pradiyadam. Pati Prana Pradiyadam. Pati Prana Pradiyadam. That means that whatever Nagabatnis, Kaliya's wives, have spoken, is all spoken with great devotion to Krishna. And there were great devotees also, that Krishna, when they spoke like this, got down from Kaliya's head. And then Kaliya glorified Krishna. Kaliya glorified Krishna. But the essence of what Kaliya has spoken there is that he says to Krishna, either you should put your hand on top of me, head, and bless me. Otherwise, if you don't want to do that, please climb on top of that again and give me another 4 more kicks. That snake's nature, you see. Another 4 more kicks if you can give it to me. But don't leave me half like this, half dead in that condition. So, he says, Kaliya's arrogance you can see there. I don't think I have done a big mistake, he's saying. Even then, after getting all this kick from Krishna, he's saying to Krishna, I don't think I have done a big mistake, because, so, all the snakes bite, and you are behind it, you gave this nature to them. Why are you blaming me? This is Kaliya's attitude. All the snakes normally bite, isn't it? We say snaky nature, snake. People we say like that, isn't it? He's very character is snaky. So in creation, what you have given, I have shown that character, nature. So why you take it so seriously? Why you act like this? But if it is like that, and if you think that I have done some mistake, you can punish me for that. I don't have anything against that. Kaliya says like this. So what is indicating that even after getting kicked so much, that ego inside hasn't gone. This is the lesson to learn from this Kaliya Mardanam. Then material life, we all have the same experience, isn't it? As soon as we get kicked a lot, we feel a little humble and all that. Then again, another opportunity comes, the ego will come back and start showing its power all over. So Kaliya is our family member in that sense. We are closer to Kaliya than Krishna in that way. Our ego is such that, like Kaliya, he says here, so that nature in Kaliya is present in everybody. So Krishna says to him, that I know it is your nature to bite. That your nature. So this you can see here that, you know this in English, they have this satire. So this satire is in every language also in other parts of the world. So once it so happened that a king, the kings in the olden days when we didn't have the modern entertainment like what we have today, the films and cinemas and dramas and all that. In the past, in the temple arts, there is a system of this satire way of dealing with the problems like that. So one person was acting in a one of those satirical dramas, and the king was present there in the front, sitting and watching that. So the king's eyes were not very straight. It had a little bit of what you call the, you know, the eyes where the goes into the corner when you look like this. Yeah, that kind of eye he had. So the person who was speaking, he noticed that, and he mentioned that in a satire. He thought, because that's an opportunity for them to make fun of the king as well. And kings, normally they don't easily fall for it. But, so what he did was, when he spoke something in the satire, he spoke something like that about the king, it hit him hard. It hurt him very much. So what he did was, as soon as he went back to the palace, he told this person to come back to the palace and to tell him to come to the palace, he said. So when he got to the palace, he told him, leave my kingdom straight away. In those days, that was their authority. They could tell the people to, there was no registered document or anything, that everything belonged to the king, property. You are allowed to stay in the property because the king allows you to stay there. He has got the right to tell you to leave the kingdom anytime. And there were so many kingdoms at that time. So he told him, take all your belongings and leave. By tomorrow morning, you should leave this country, he said. When he heard that, it's tough, isn't it? Suddenly when you are told like that. You can see the differences, what it is today. So, sometimes he had to follow the order. There was no question of negotiating with the king. There was no question of negotiating with the king. So he left. But still, what he used to do, he had certain things still left at different places in the kingdom. So in the night he used to come to collect them and take them away from there. So some or the other, the king came to know about this, that this is what's happening. So one day it so happened, he was coming in the night to the kingdom. So the king deliberately stood there on the way and caught him by the hand in the darkness. He caught him by the hand, pulled out his sword and looked at him. How do you feel now? He said to this person who made that satire thing. So he says to him, at the moment, I feel like the mouse in front of the cat. He said, mouse was in front of the cat. That means that nature in that person still hasn't left him. He still wants to have fun with the king also, not caring for what's going to happen. Putting it to king in such a way to make him feel that you're like a cat and I'm like a mouse, also indicating his eyes, the cat's eye, what he had before. So Krishna says to him, to the Kali also, my dear snake, this is your character. This is your nature. And this cruelty in you, this cruel nature in you, that I have given it to you. That's the nature that I have given it to you. But you should do one thing. Don't stay here anymore. And you have come here because you are frightened of Garuda. That story is there in the Mahabharatam also. You will see why Kaliya had to come to Yamuna and live there. And from now on, Garuda won't do any harm to you. But you should, it was not a waste that I have kicked you like this. I have put the seal on every hood, my feet. Mark is there. So you should go away from here, go to Ramanagadvip and live there. And Garuda will not give you any trouble there. And Krishna's marks are on his head. And as soon as Garuda comes and looks at you and sees these marks on your head, then he know that you are my person and he won't give you in trouble afterwards. Not only Garuda, even the death personified will not touch you. You can go to Ramagadyub and live there. And this is what he said. Vijitra Rupa Tavakhalu Anugraham. Krishna's way of blessing the devotees is different ways, different devotees. You will never see one devotee is blessed in the same way another devotee is blessed. Every devotee is blessed in different ways. Vijitra Rupa Tavakhalu Anugraha. Krishna's anugraham, blessing or mercy, is Vijitra Rupam. Tavakhalu Anugraham. Krishna's anugraham or blessing is always in different ways to the different devotees. Kaliya first thought that Krishna is going to kill him. But why did Krishna do that? Because Krishna kicked enough that the marking on his head should never go. It should remain there permanent. And therefore he kicked him very hard. And Kaliya's wives were also very pleased because they are saying to Krishna that it was very nice what you have done. And they came over with a lot of nice clothes for Krishna and jewels, everything. And Kaliya himself carried Krishna back to the river shore and left him there. After that, Kaliya left Yamuna River. So, when Krishna was brought back, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and they all were waiting there. You can imagine their frame of mind at that time. But all the cows came up to Krishna and they started licking Krishna's body, as they used to do before. They started licking him. So, Nanda Maharaj had a doubt, because Kaliya has bitten him. Has the poison gone into the body? This was going through Nanda Maharaj's head. So, therefore, he is worrying about it. Normally, Krishna's color is dark blue. Added to that, even if some poison goes in, you won't notice it, would you? Because the color won't change very much. It's very difficult to notice any change of color. Just like if you have a dark body, then if any poison goes in, you won't notice that. Unless some change happens, some swelling or something. But there was nothing like that. Nanda Maharaj is looking at Krishna's body all over to check if there is any poison gone into this body. So, it is at that time, some brahmanas came there. Brahmanas from Vrindavanam, they came there. And they are saying to Nanda Maharaj, "Oh, your son has been bitten by a snake, hasn't it? Kaliya has bitten him, isn't it? But nothing has happened. He is okay. No poison has touched him." So, Nanda Maharaj told them, "How do you know that no poison has gone inside?" "We know that just due to the power of our austerities," the brahmanas are saying to Nanda Maharaj. And then Brahmana says to Nanda Maharaj, "That is not enough. You have to give charity now." The brahmanas claimed the charity from Nanda Maharaj, that the poison did not affect him due to the power of our austerity, swadhyayam. The power of our swadhyayam is not that he did not get affected. Brahmanas put the claim. So Nanda Maharaj says to him that I'm more than happy to give you charity. I don't have any problem with that. That Nanda Maharaj says to Yashoda, "We have to make arrangements now, because these brahmanas have protected our baby Krishna from bitten by the Kaliya. Look, no poison has affected him. This is the strength of their austerities." Everybody was happy. Nanda Maharaj gave plenty of presents to gifts in charity to the brahmanas, and he sent them away happily. And that night, particular night, there was a big forest fire, and Krishna decided to protect all the devotees. So he swallowed the whole fire inside the mouth and protected all the devotees, cowherd boys, everybody who were there. And whatever Shivabrahmarshi is coming to his mind, different incidents, what has happened in Vrindavanam and in that forest, all that is what is being spoken at the moment. So, we'll continue reading that in the next two chapters, which is 18 and 19. 18 and 19. Actually, to study 10th canto in detail, you need a lot of time, because all these prayers, for example, I mentioned this before also, that in Srimad Bhagavatam, in every chapter, wherever there is an opportunity, Shukha Brahmarshi will bring the tattva behind it. Similarly, in this also, in this Kaliyavardhanam, what you will notice there, through these prayers of Kaliya's wives, that is where most of the philosophical understanding is spoken. You can see the prayers, Kaliya's wife's prayers is fully full of Vedantic knowledge spoken there. So that means that to study them itself is a topic for few hours. So let us go through this now. Shri Raja Vacham, 17th chapter. 18th, isn't it? Shri Shuka Vacha Atha Krishna Parivradojnyadi Birmuditaal Pabi Anigriyamanu Nyavishal Vrajam Gogala Mandidam Vrajai Vikrini Dorevam Gomala Chatmamaya Grishmo Namartura Bhavan Adi Prayan Sharirinam Saja Vrindavanunir Vasandami Valakshida Yatraste Bhagavan Sashal Ramena Sahakeshava Yatta Narjana Khradan Vartasuna Jilligam Shashyotta Chigarajirsham Druma Mandala Mandidam Saril Sara Prasravanormivayunam, Kalhara Kanjol Pelarenu Harinam, Navidide Yatravanogasam, Davo, Nidhakavanir Kapavodi Shad Dwele, Akadoya Kradir Nador Tador Mimir Tador Mipir, Dravat Purisha Puline Samandada, Nayatra Chandam Sugaram Sholbanam, Puorasam Shad Dwelism, Chagrahnade, Vanam Kusumidam Shriman, Nada Chitravagad Vijam, Gayan Mavira Brahmaram, Kujal Kogilasarasam, Kridishamanatal Krishna Bhagavan Balasam Yuda, Venum Miranayan Gober, Godhane Samrudo Vishal, Pravala Barha, Barhastabaga, Sraddha Dukadabushanaha, Ramakrishna Yogova, Nanurdu Jaydur Jagu, Krishna Sanatu the Kajar Jagu Gajidava, Dayan, Venubani the Leshrangay, Prashasham Suratha Pare, Gobaja di Padichanu Deva, Gobala Rubina, Idire Krasharamu Janadami, Vanadam Rupa, Brahmane Lankani Chebe, Sportana Vigarshane, Chikrida Dunur Nirudhena Kaga Bachadra Kuchil Kujam Rutilzajan Yushugaya Govada Go Swayam Shasham Sadhuma Maharaja Sadhu Sadhidivadino Kujil Bilway Kujit Kumbai Kujamalagamushtibi Aspreshanetrabandadi Kujin Mraga Kake Haya Kujit Chandardura Plavir Vivitirupahasagay Kadajil Spandoligaya Karkajil Nrapajeshtaya Evam Dologa Siddhami Krida Vishchedidurvani Nadyadre droni gunjeshu, kaneneshu, sarasucha, Pashum charedor gobes tadwani Ramakrishnayo, Gobarubi pralamboga, agadas rastaj hirshaya, Tam vidwan vidashar ho bagawan sarvadarshana, Anumodadal sakhim vatam dasya vijindayan, Tatro bahuya gobaran, Krishna prahaviharavid, He gopa, viharishyamo, dvundibhue yathayatham, Tatra chakro, paribrado goba, Rama janardano, Krishna sankatina kejil, dasan ramasya chapare, Achedo Vivida Krida Vahivaha Galakshana Yatraro Handijetaro Vahandija Parajidaha Vahando Vahimanascha Charendascha Gothanam Bandi Ragam Namavadam Jagmu Krishna Purogamaha Rama Sangatino Yerhi Shridam Urshabadeya Kridayam Jainastam Stanuhu Krishna Deyonruba Uaha Krishna Bhagavan Shridamanam Parajida Urshabam Badrasenestu Pralambo Ruhini Sudam Avishakhyam Mahinyanam Krishnam Dhanava Pungava Vahandrudharam Pragat, Avaro, Avaro, Hanadaparam, Tamuduhendranidarendra Gauravam, Hasuro Vigadareo Nijambabu, Sa Astida Puradabirichado Babo, Tad Didyaman Dubadi, Vadi Vambuda, Nirichadadubaravalambare Charat, Pradipta Drukbru, Kudidodo Gratham Strakam, Jolachigam, Katagirida Kundalam, Tushalbudam, Halahara, Ishadatrasad. Nathagadas Madirabhayori Pumbalo, Vihaya Sartami Vaharanda Malpana, Rushahana Cherisidra Dena Mustina, Suradivo, Girimiva, Vajaram Hasa, സ ആഹത സമതിം ശീർണമസ്തകോ മുഖാദ്മന്യുതിരമവസ്മൃതോ സുര മഹാരവം വിശ്രമതൽ സമീരയൻ ഗീർയഥാ മഖവതമായുധാഹ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ പ്രളംബം നിഹതം ബലേന ബലശാലിനാം കോപാസു വിസ്മിതാമാസൻ സാധു സാദ്വിധിവാദിനാം ആശിഷോപികണന്ദസ്തം പശശം സ്വസ്ഥദർഹണം പ്രത്യാഗതമിവാലിംഗ്യം പ്രമവിഹുല ചേതസ പാപേ പ്രളംബേ നിഹതേ ദേവ പരമനിർവൃത അഭ്യവർഷൻ ബലം മാല്യേ ശശംസു സാധു സാദ്വിധി ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ പൂർവാർധേ പ്രളംബവതോ നാമ അഷ്ടദശോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ 19th chapter. Shri Shukovacha, Kridasakte Shukobeshu Tadga Odurachariini, Durachariini, Swairam Charandyo Vivishu Tranalobhena Gahvaram, Ajaga Omahishashya Narvishandyo Vanadvanam, Ishikadavim Narvishu Kandandyo Davada Rashidaha, Te Pashyandavishungoma Krasharamadestada, Jada Anudabhanu Nidurve Jinyando Gavam Gadim, Trane Sadgurachinne Sadguradachinne Goshpade Rangidair Gavam, Margaminagaman Sarve Nashta Jeevya Vichetasam, മുഞ്ചാടവ്യം ഭ്രഷ്ടമാർഗം ക്രന്ദമാനം സുഖോധനം സമ്പ്രാപ്യ ത്രിഷിതാശ്രാന്തസ്തേ സന്യവർത്തയൻ താ ആഹൂത ഭഗവത മേഘഗംഭീരയാഗിര സ്വനാംനാംനിനദം ശ്രുത്വ പ്രതിനേതു പ്രഹർഷിത തതസ്വനന്ദാധ്വന ധൂമകേതു രദർച്ഛയാ ഭൂഷയർധുനൗകസാം സമീത സാരഥിമുൽബണോൽമുഖൈ വിലേലിഹാന സ്ഥിര ജംഗമാൻ മഹാൻ തമാപദന്തം പരിതോദവാഗ്നിം ഗോവാശകാവ പ്രസമീക്ഷ ബീദ ഊജശ്ച കൃഷ്ണം സബലം പ്രപന്ന യഥാഹയം മൃത്യുഭയാർദിത ജനാഃ കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ മഹാവീര ഹേ രാമ അമിതവിക്രമ ദവാഗ്നാദിഹ്യമാനൻ പ്രപന്നാം സ്ഥാതുമർഹത മൂനം തദ്ബാന്ധവ കൃഷ്ണ നചാർഹന്ദവസീതിം വയം ഹി സർവധർമ്മജ്ഞ ത്വന്നാദാസ്തൽപരായണ ശ്രീശുവാച വചോ നിശമ്യക്രമണം ബന്ധൂനാം ഭഗവാൻ ഹരി നിമീലയതമാഭൈഷ്ടേ ലോചനാ നിത്യഭാഷത തഥേതി മീലിതാക്ഷേഷോ ഭഗവാൻ അഗ്നിമുൽബണം പീത്വാ മുഖേനതാൻ കൃച്ഛാത് യുഗാദിശോ വിമോചയൽ തതശ്ചേ അക്ഷീണ്യംനി ഉന്മീല്യ പുനർഭാണ്ഡീരമാപിത നിശാമ്യ വിസ്മിതോ ആസന്നാത്മാനം ഗാശ്ചമോചിതാഃ കൃഷ്ണസ്യ യോഗവീര്യം തദ്യോഗമായാനുഭാവിതം ദാവാഗ്നിരാത്മനക്ഷേമം വീക്ഷതേ മെനിരേമരം ഗാ സന്നിവർത്തി സായാന്നേ സഹരാമോചനാർദ്ദന വീണും വിരണയൻഗോഷ്ടം അഗാദ് ഗോപൈരഭിഷ്ടുത ഗോപീനാം പരമാനന്ദ ആസീത് ഗോവിന്ദദർശനേ ക്ഷണം യുഗശതമിവ യാസാം യേന വിനാഭവത് ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ പൂർവാർധേ ദാവാഗ്നിപാനം നാമ ഏകോനവിംശതിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശൈശുക ബ്രഹ്മർഷി കൃഷ്ണാസ് ആൻഡ് ബലറാംസ് കമ്പൈൻഡ് പാസ്റ്റ് ടൈംസ് ആർ ബീങ് സ്പോക്കൺ നൗ ആൻഡ് ഏർലിയർ വി സോ ലോർഡ് ബലറാം കിൽഡ് ധേനുകാസുരം And then, without Balaram, Krishna conducted the Kaliyamardhanam Leela. That pastime, without Balaram's help, he conducted that. At the end of Kaliyamardhanam, Balaram also comes there to pacify everybody. Then, here again now, the next episode in the Bhagavadam is killing this Pralambasura. And you will see in Narayaniyam, when Melpattu talked about this killing of Pralambasura, Rama Sakha, he begins like that. That means, Rama Sakha, normally there was a fear in Vrindavanam that if Krishna goes without Balaram, he may go and get into trouble, like what happened with Kaliya. So Yashoda Devi was always saying to Balaram that you should go with him, because if you don't go, he may go and get into some trouble somewhere, like it happened with Kaliya. So Yashoda is thinking like this. So he says to Balaram, Yashoda says to Balaram, because you didn't go that day, that's how it ended up like that. He got into this trouble with Kaliya, he says like that. And he says, Krishna, then Yashoda Devi turns to Krishna and says to him, how many times have I told you that not to go alone, you should be going with Balaram, he will look after you. And because Balaram was not there that day, that's how you ended up in the Kaliya river, in the Kalindi river, isn't it? And you went and jumped into that. And that day, Yashoda, after all this incident, not what happened with Kaliya, keeps Krishna on the lap and hold him very tight and crying. Yashoda is crying, oh, what has happened to my son? How he has came? She could, because sometimes it is like that. Nanda Maharaj is asking here that Nanda Maharaj is concerned, the Brahmanas have come, all the charity has been given, with that this is over. But for Yashoda, it's not over yet. Yashoda feels that I've got back my son who was dead, practically died. That's what Yashoda is thinking. So Yashoda is holding tight Krishna very tightly like this and sitting. And due to happiness, she is crying. And due to the sadness also, she is crying. So you didn't know why she was crying. The tears were coming from her eyes. The way the mothers feel about their children, isn't it? Sometimes they feel happy and they cry. Sometimes they feel miserable also, they cry. So either way, she was crying. Yashoda was crying with Krishna on the lap. Nanda Maharaj feels that is over now that I've given the charity. His strong faith in that Brahmanas and their power. You can notice that in Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj says, I've given enough in charity and they have protected my child. This is what Nanda Maharaj is thinking. Yashoda Devi is thinking somehow or the other, Krishna has been protected and he's back with me now. So she's not able to let him go freely. She wants to keep him with her. So, and then after that, Yashoda fed milk to Krishna. And when Krishna fed, this is the way Yashoda has taken it for granted. If he drinks milk, he's okay. If he's not drinking milk, then he's not okay. So Krishna drank the milk happily and Yashoda felt satisfied. Mother is feeling. That's what you see there. The mother thinks like that all the time about the children, isn't it? So, so after all these things, Shukra Brahmarshi says there, Shukra Brahmarshi also is having a good time with all these things. He says there that if you look at that 17th chapter, after this, in the 17th chapter, you'll see, Yashoda bhi Mahabhaga, 19th verse, Nashtalabdha Praja Sati, Yashoda bhi Mahabhaga, Nashtalabdha Praja Sati. Son whom she thought has lost has come back and she is very fortunate. Parishad jyangam aryopyam umucho ashrukalam muhu. Holding him tight like that, she is crying and crying because Krishna has come back from... She never thought once you have gone to Kaliya, Kaliya has killed so many people and naturally there is a lot of fear in Yashoda's mind. You shouldn't go anywhere near to that. So always that anxiety in the mother's mind about the children. And Yashoda Devi also had the same thing with Krishna. Now that Krishna has come back, she couldn't believe it herself that Kali has been driven away from there. So Yashoda wanted to cry a lot. You could see that. That's what you mentioned there. That Parishad Jyangam Aryopya Mumucho Ashrugalam Ashrugalam Muhu Ashrugalam. Constantly tears were coming from Yashoda's eyes. And normally you can see when you are wound up a lot inside, all of us, men, women, all, particularly in women, when they are wound up a lot and then it gets loosened up if they cry a lot and you feel a big relief inside. Is it not? You may have observed all these things. When they get wound up a lot, it becomes very tense inside. And if they cry a lot, it will go and that they become a little bit relaxed about it. Isn't it? So, that is what has happened there. That Nanda, in front of Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda is keeping Krishna on the lap and Nanda Maharaj called Balaram to come. And in front of Balaram, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda told Krishna that he will never go again alone. Took an oath in front. All these family dealings you can observe in all these things. That you will never go alone to the forest. It is sort of a guarantee they took from Krishna. So that is why in the next pastime he took Balaram with him. Seriously. To convince Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda that I am only acting according to your instructions. That is Krishna's attitude. So for many days Yashoda couldn't sleep. Thinking about this, that Krishna had gone and done this with Kaliya. Nanda Maharaj didn't take it that seriously. But Yashoda was feeling it very much. Yashoda felt that this shouldn't have happened. Is it my fault? as usual. Is it my fault? I didn't look after him properly. Why did this happen? This way, keep my mind starts working from behind. And even though Kali has gone and days have gone, Yashoda has not forgotten this incident. So, told him to hold the hand and give the guarantee that he will not do it again. So, all these things happened. That is why, Ramasakha ko abhidine. Next incident is with Ramasakha. With Rama only. Not alone. With Rama alone. So, that's why Mirpatur said this to Krishna, Ramasakha, next one. That you didn't go with Rama, did you? Didn't go alone. You went with Balram. So, when he went going to the forest, he's saying to the mother, that I'm going to the forest holding on to my brother's hand. Krishna is saying to Yashoda, I'm holding to my brother's hand. And so with that, Rama, Balram together, they were walking there. It was at that time, there was a very important personality in Kamsa's ministry called Pralamba. Pralamba is one of the important ministers. Probably he holds some important ministry in Balram's, in Kamsa's ministry. If you want to know how important Pralamba is, if you look into the second chapter in the 10th canto, you will see. The chapter begins with Pralamba's. Second chapter, the first verse. Pralamba bhagachanu ratranavarta mahashanei. Mushtika arishtad divida pudana keshi denuge. This is Kamsa's ministry. The ministry, these are all the top ministers. Pralamba Vaga Chanura Tranavarta Mahashanai Mushtiga Arishta Divida Putana Keshi Denuke. Kansa has included one female minister also in that. Obviously those days also that must be like that, I suppose. Nowadays, every ministry wants to include as many female ministers. If you include a lot of female ministers, it means that, you know, it's been all equal. We're all equal now. So, so that's why Putana's name is specifically mentioned there. Putana is the only women in the whole group. Pralamba Bhagajanura Tranavarta Mahashanai Mushtika Arishtad Divida Putana Keshi Denuge. So Putana is included and Pralamba is the first one mentioned there. It is that Pralamba who is now going to be dealt by Balram. So these are important ministers. Not all the ministers are mentioned, important ones. And Pralamba is one of the important ones there. And it is him who is going to come now. Putana, Denuga, Valsasura, Shakatasura, Tranavarta, Akasura, Bhagasura. So many of them have been killed already and gone. All these have been killed already, isn't it? Denuga was killed, Pudana was killed, Valsasura, Shakatasura, Tranavarta, Akasura, Bhagasura, they have all gone. Now it is Pralamba's turn. Pralamba's turn. So, somehow or the other, we don't know how Kamsa deputed different people to come, but it was Pralamba's turn. Pralamba had a lot of enthusiasm to come and to kill Krishna. But all that enthusiasm is till he crosses the Kalindi River. Till you get to the Kalindi River, there's a lot of enthusiasm. But once he crosses Kalindi River, Pralamba knew very well that he's going to deal with what is going to happen, he doesn't know. What has happened to all other members who have come before, they never came back. Putana, Bhagasura, Akasura, they never came back. So Pralamba also had this fear in his mind, what is going to happen. They had to cross the Kalindi River to this side. So, Pralambasura came there, and when he got there, the cowherd boys and Krishna were having different games being played in the forest. And it was on one of those days, Balaram was there in that group and Krishna was also there and they had formed two groups and they were playing a game together in two different groups. So you can see one group was headed by Balaram and the other was headed by Krishna. The agreement was that whoever loses one group for one Balaram's group will fight with one member from the Krishna's group, and whoever loses, he had to carry the other person from there to a long distance. Bhandiraga, whatever shop they call it, there's a tree there. So that was the arrangement. So Balaram's team was a strong team as well, and they were practicing wrestling on their own, all that group. Krishna's group was also practicing, and they all have selected different kinds of wrestling techniques, just like we have this karate and kung fu and whatever these days. They also had these things developed at that time. And so seeing this, you can see that Krishna also believed in all these things, in strengthening the body. So simply education is not enough. They should also have some physical exercise. So not only that, they were experiencing the often visits from these different demons to Vrindavanam, and they need to practice this to fight them. So they were showing up each other, their strength and their techniques, all these things. It is at that time our Pralambasura arrived there, and he took a form there. He thought that if I could join in one of the groups, it will be the best thing to do. If I join Balaram's group, possibility that I may have to fight with Krishna. So in order to avoid that, he joined Krishna's group and decided to see whom he has to fight on the opposite side. So Krishna's group on one side, Balaram's group on the other side, and anybody can join in any of the groups they wanted. So they're willing to fight and start beginning to start the fighting. So only agreement was the lost person was lost it. He has to carry the winner on his shoulders to the tree which was far away from there. So so they started fighting. Krishna was fighting with Sridham. And Rama Keshavayor Sakha, Subala, Toga Krishna, all these Krishna's friends, they were in different groups. They were also fighting. And whoever loses in the battle, the referees are there, and the referee will decide who has lost it, and then they have to carry. Therefore, Krishna lost to Sridham in the fight. So referee told that Krishna has to carry Sridham because he has lost it. Krishna was not willing to do that. Krishna was trying to avoid the situation. But everybody insisted that you have to be fair in all this, and they forced Krishna to carry Sridhama from there. And lot of enthusiasm on Krishna's part then to carry Sridhama. And in Melpathur said this to Krishna, did you not hesitate to quote Sridhama that day? So that was that time he said that, if you look into the 57th chapter, on the 6th verse, he says there, Parajito Bhaktada Sadam Pradhayan Kalpida Vijayadravahane Samare Parayodhagam Sudaitaram Deitadaram Sridhama Amadhataha Parajito Bhaktada Sadam Pradhayan Parajito Bhaktada Sadam Pradhayan. That is Shiva Brahma, she is saying to Krishna, is enjoying actually carrying Sridhama. It is a nature in Krishna that whenever he loses to a devotee, you will see this in the Mahabharatam also. When Bhishma won, Krishna felt happy. Is it not? Like that, there are many instances in the Bhagavatam that while losing to a devotee, Krishna relishes that. Parajido Bhaktadasadam Prathaman. That losing to Sridhama, Krishna enjoyed, and carrying Sridhama also. And you can see there, Krishna wanted to say to Bhishma that I've lost. He enjoyed saying that to Bhishma. Similarly, in front of gopis also, in some instances, Krishna says, I've lost. Krishna says that in the Rasa dance, isn't it? That I cannot repay the what you have given to me. I have lost. He says, he surrenders there. Similarly, in front of Yashoda Devi also, Krishna says, I have lost it because of Yashoda's that bhakti in the heart. Yashoda's bhakti, Gopi's bhakti, Bhishma's bhakti, all that is conquered Krishna to that extent. Krishna says that I have lost only to the devotees, not to anybody else. Only with the devotees, Krishna says, I have lost it with them. Because of the power of that devotion. This is why devotion is given so much importance. That Krishna doesn't surrender to anybody except to the great devotees like that. So, and Krishna enjoys that. In front of devotees to lose, Krishna enjoys that. So, why did he lose in front of Sri Dama? Because carrying devotees, that Krishna enjoys. Carrying devotees, Krishna enjoys. That means to become a servant of the devotees is Krishna's happiness. It's a happiness in Krishna. That is why in the Bhagavadam, when he said to Uddhava, isn't it? Nirabeksham, Munim, Shandam, Nurvairam, Samadarshinam, Anuprajamyaham, Nityam, Puyedi, Angri, Renubhi, he says. Why that statement is coming from this bhavam, Krishna's mood. Nirabeksham, Munim, Shandam, Nurvairam, Samadarshinam. To those great devotees, Krishna is saying that I take the dust from their feet. So, just show to us that bhakti has a very important aspect in everything, whether it your jnana margam or yoga margam or karma margam. Without bhakti, it is not possible. Otherwise, it will simply become an intellectual exercise. You may study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, everything, but without that bhakti, that is why in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says this. So, here you can see that when Krishna was carrying Sridhama when walking, all other cowherd boys were enjoying that Krishna has been beaten, and they were all making a lot of sound to make Krishna feel that we are enjoying, that you have lost it. So, and in this way it went on like that, and Pralambasura had to fight with, because Krishna, Pralambasura has joined Krishna's gang, but it so happened that Krishna has decided that Pralambasura should fight with Balaram. Somehow or the other it was manipulated that way, that Balaram, and Balambasura also thought that this is an opportunity now. At least I've got one in my hand. Actually, he wanted to kill both. But at least this is an opportunity to get one at least. So he caught hold of Pralamba, and Pralamba is a cowherd boy now. He's dressed like that, and he's in the, nobody has noticed that he has dressed up. Krishna has already sensed who has come. So nobody was doubting about him. And just like earlier, Valsasura came like a calf among the calves, isn't it? When Valsasura was killed, he noticed that. How he was dressed up like a calf in game. These demons have got all this mystic power in them to change their form as they like. So here, Pralambasura is like a cowherd boy. He has joined the group there and nobody noticed that. And Balaram and Pralambasura started fighting. And Balaram beat him very strongly. And both fought each other well, and Balaram gave him very strong ones to Pralamba. But when Pralamba was beating back, Balaram thought that it is very hot. The hands are getting very hot, but the strength was so strong. It was so strong that he couldn't get up from there. Finally, Balaram decided that I'm going to smash him down and gave him a good one. And with that, he fell. And at that time, he couldn't get up from that. So the game was over. And they all decided now that Pralambasura had to take Balaram on his head and walk up to the Bhandiraga Vruksham. So he got up. Pralambasura got up and put Balaram on his shoulders. Balaram is sitting on Pralambasura's shoulders. And Pralambasura is walking from there. He decided not to leave him. So while going, Pralambasura was looking both sides. He started walking very fast. He wanted to run away with Balaram from there and take revenge of that. So he was thinking that if I can take him like this to Kamsa, as I'm carrying him like this, and get to Kamsa and present him in front of Kamsa, I'll be given some presents, some gifts from him. So he was going in that way. And And Pralambasura was thinking in his mind, if I bring Balram to to Kamsa, and Kamsa is pleased with me, he's going to give me a lot of gifts and a lot of wealth and other things. He was all planning in his head, always thinking like this. In the Mahabharatam, there is a story of Monkey Ubakhyanam. It is called Monkey Ubakhyanam. Monkey Ubakhyanam, we spoke about that before, that a person who is planning about his future, he was going to buy the rice flour and then carry them in the cart and sell them in the market and make a lot of money in this way. That episode, it's a Bhishma talking about that. Monkey Ubakhyanam. So similarly, he was also planning like that. So Balaram was thinking, when Balaram was sitting there, suddenly Pralambasura expanded his body to huge mountain-like structure. So Balaram felt that he is sitting on top of a mountain, and when you hear that, it will give an impression that even Balaram didn't know that it was a demon who has come and sitting there. You will see there, Sri Shukla Brahmarshi mentions that. For a second, Balaram was confused. If you look at that 18th chapter, 27th verse. Niriksha tadvapura tadvapuralam tadpuralam ambare charal pradita bhrugudita bhrugudita dogradam shtakam jolachikam kataka kirida kundalam tusha albudam haladhara ishadatrasad. Haladhara Ishadatrasad, he says that for a moment Balaram got frightened. For a moment, Haladhara Ishadatrasad. So what happened by now? When he looked at from the top of the mountain, when he looked down, Krishna is standing there, a small boy on the ground, far away. And it was that stage, and Krishna is standing far away from him. He's on the top of this hill like Pralambasura's body. So Krishna showed him from the ground what he should do with the right hand to get a good smash on his head. Because he's sitting on the shoulders, isn't it? So it was at that time. What was the intention of showing that to Balaram? Because Krishna has just finished one dance in front of Kaliya, isn't it? And after that dance, how Krishna played walking on top of the different heads of Kaliya. At that dance, and then Krishna got the title Akhila Kaladi Gujar Manartha. That special title what Krishna got. And Lord Shiva is also known as the Nataraja, isn't it? In Chidambaram you will see the deity there as Nataraja. He is the cosmic dancer. So, here, they have all developed new steps, found out new steps, but apparently everything has come from Krishna, the style of dancing. Similarly, Balaram's question was, should I start dancing on his head? But Krishna says to him, that it's not possible to do that. Told him to punch on his head from the top. And as soon as that mudra was shown to Balaram, straight away punched him from the top. And with that punch was so strong that his head broke into pieces and he fell down, collapsed there straight away. And the whole blood from his body spilled on Balaram's clothes and body everywhere. And when Balaram came up from that, after killing Pralambasura, it appeared as though Balaram had a blood bath. And they received him, glorifying Balaram, and Krishna also particularly congratulated Balaram for that. When they looked at that time, all the cows were far away in the forest, and they were looking for grass and water to drink, and that is why they were in a place called Munjadavi, Jadavi. And when they were trying to bring all the cows and calves from there, just at that time, Pralambasura had other demons as well who were assisting him at that time. They tried to set fire to the forest all around where Krishna and the cowherd boys were there. That whole place was set on fire, arson. They played this technique of setting fire to everywhere, and you can imagine in the heat how it spread so fast. And when they looked around, they could see that the fire is all around them. And Munjagras was present there, and it catches fire very quickly. They didn't know what to do. They started crying for Krishna's help. Krishna says to them, nobody has to cry here. What could they do? The fire is all around. It is catching up very fast. In a few minutes, they will be burned into ashes. So, what did Krishna say to them? Krishna says that you are frightened because of seeing the fire, isn't it? Close your eyes. He said, close your eyes. You should only open when I tell you to open. So, the devotees being, cowherd boys being the devotees, they listened to what Krishna said. That they closed their eyes, and when Krishna told him to open the eyes, what did they see? They were all carried away from there to a distant place, far away from there, to a safe area. They were transported. And they were experiencing that coolness of the Vrindavanam forest, and they knew that they were standing far away from the forest fire. And they were thinking, how did this happen? They were told to close the eyes, and they told him to open. When he told them to open the eyes, they were standing far away here. So, how did this happen? Sri Shuka Brahmarshi mentions that. He said, there's no other reason. The faith they had in Krishna's words. The faith they had in Krishna's words. So, earlier you have noticed, when Akasura opened his mouth and all the cowherd boys walked inside there, they had the faith that Krishna will protect them. And even now, you can see that they had strong faith that there is nothing to be frightened about. Krishna will protect us. This is what is lacking in all of us, isn't it? We are always feeling that our plans and our intelligence will save us from every situation. Isn't it? That's why we make so many plans. And we think that that's what is going to protect us. But all these pastimes is showing to us that will not protect us. What will protect us is this strong faith and dependency on Krishna. That dependency is not there. That is why as soon as difficulties come in life, we feel that we have to sort this out, then we'll go back to spiritual life again. That is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is when difficulties come, able to be dependent on Krishna. That is spiritual life. Otherwise, it's not spiritual life. Instead, we make plans and plans and plans one after the other. And after all that, plans will come back to spiritual life. Our mind operates in that way. That's the difficulty. So, that is why he says here, when we went to Akasura's mouth, they had no fear. They were not frightened. And now again, Bhagavad Vinangshadi, that faith what they had in Krishna's words and Krishna's protective power, that is what has protected them. So, if one can think like this, you will see in the great devotee's life these things happening. Completely dependent on Krishna, that Krishna will protect them. That care. So, any danger, protection is only when Krishna wants to protect us. You can see this. We can look at our own life. If not today or tomorrow, this whole body is burned into ashes. It is going to be a pot of ashes, isn't it? Burned into ashes. And everybody knows that. And knowing this very well, in this material life, material existence, and we get burned continuously, and finally they set fire and burn the whole thing. Every day in life in this world is nothing but burning. It's a burning experience, isn't it? That's why it's called fire of material existence. One difficulty or the other in life, from different sides it comes and frightens us. And Krishna is also saying this. If you remember in the Agadasya Skandam, when he said to Uddhava, yavat swala sudandratvam tavad ishwarado bhayam, he says there, isn't it? if you look into 14th chapter, I think it mentions there that Yavatsyal Gunaveshamyam Tavan Nanatam Atmana Nanatam Atmano Yavat Parandram Tadevahi. This fear of material life is such, it will never leave us. All the time it is bothering us from inside. Yavatsyal Gunaveshamyam Tavan Nanatam Atmana. The thing what Krishna is talking about is not easy to come to that state. It is very, 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 very difficult. Gunaveshamyam. Krishna is saying when the three modes of nature is working inside, Nanatvam will be there. Nanatvam means variegatedness. Dvaitam will be there. Nanatvam alpano yavat paratantram tadaivahi. When this Nanatvam is operating inside, paratantram, paratantrada. Paratantrada means that you are always feeling dependent on everybody else in this world. This is the nature of this material existence. If you properly analyze material life, you can see this. You are always trying to keep relationship with others in a nice way. Why? Because you feel that they will give you some help when you need the help, isn't it? That is what Krishna is pointing out to Uddhava. Yavatsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatvam alpmana. Nanatvam alpmano yavat paratantram tadaivahi. As long as you feel this nanatvam, nanatvam means that you feel that different living entities exist, you are dependent on others for your shelter. All this is coming from what? Due to ajnanam inside, avidya inside. What is that ajnanam? Ajnanam is this, that many exist, many doesn't exist. That is the point Krishna is making. Vedantam also says the same thing. Many doesn't exist. What exists is one Atma. Atma exists. In that, we experience the existence of many. Many is an experience inside, but it is not the reality. That is what Bhagavatam is saying to us. Yavatsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatvam alpana. Nanatvam alpano yavat paratantram tadevahi. Paratantrada comes from this nanatvam. Nanatvam means that you are recognizing the existence of different entities in this world. That is called a nanatvam. Due to that nanatvam, paratantrada has come. Paratantrada means that your dependence on them. Why do you feel that you have to be dependent on so many? This is the spiritual side of it. But Krishna is saying also that unless this ignorance goes away from inside, not on intellectual level, but through bhakti, if that's not gone, then you will have to suffer from that. We all are victimized by that, isn't it? So here you can see that the material life, one day the body is already burning in this fire of material existence, and one day it's going to be burned into ashes, and at that time it will be very, very difficult. It will be very difficult. So the only option is to believe in Krishna's words, what Krishna is saying, not to doubt Krishna's words, and not to use intellectually trying to analyze Krishna's instructions. That's a big mistake. Because intellectually, you can only go that far. You can only go that far. Beyond that, you're stuck there again. So, mind, intelligence, these are not the medium to advance in spiritual path. They are actually hindrances. Body is a hindrance. Mind is a hindrance. Intelligence is a hindrance. Above all, our strong ego is a hindrance. So, till we recognize this, these are the hindrances or blockage in our spiritual path, unable to come to terms with what Krishna is saying, isn't it? So many instances in Ekadasham, you will see so many instructions Krishna has spoken there. So, whatever, sarva dharman parityajya mame ekam sharanam raja, when Krishna is saying that to us, he's saying to us that when he's saying about the sarva dharman, actually what he's referring is that you are trying to understand me through your body, mind and intelligence. Give up that. That is the sarva dharman parityajya. Otherwise, you will misunderstand. All our dharma is centered around the ahankaram inside, is it not? So, ahankaram itself is the greatest obstacle there. So, you can see here. So, if you are able to accept Krishna's instructions wholeheartedly, without questioning, and feeling shelter there, then you can escape from this misery. So, Krishna's all pastimes are trying to teach us this message, and you will notice that even though you are experiencing these miseries of material life, still if you close your eyes and if you are able to accept Krishna's instructions, then this fire of material existence will not touch us. That is why this particular pastime has been spoken in that way. So, this Balalila, Krishna's childhood pastimes, is very much an indication of these things that Krishna is, Shuka Brahma Rishi is mentioning here, that from now on, from the next two chapters, Krishna is talking about this playing the flute. Playing the flute, and Shuka Brahma Rishi, having spoken about Krishna's playing flute, saying that he is not an authority to talk about playing the flute. Instead, he brings the gopis as the authority to talk about Krishna's playing flute. So that is the next two chapters. Let us read through that. Chapter 20, Vimshatitamodhyaya, Chapter 20, Sri Shukavacha. Tayostad adbudam karma, dava agnir mokshama altmana, goba astribya samachakyu, pralambha vathamevacha. Goba vriddhascha gopyascha tadubhagarne vismidaha, menire deva pravarav, krishna ramav, vrajam gadav, tadapravartadapravrat, sarvasatta samudbhava, vidyodamana paridir, vispurjadayana, tenabhastala. Sandra Nilambudir Vyoma Savidyustanayit Nyubhi Aspashta Jodhira Channam Brahmeva Sagunam Babhau Ashtau Masan Nipidam Yad Bhumyas Chodamayam Vasu Sughobir Moktumarebhi Parjanya Kalamagade Tadid Dvando Mahameya Chandashasane Vibhida Prenanam Jivanam Hyasya Mumujuk Karana Iva Tabakrisha Devamida Asidvarshi Yasi Mahi Yathaiva kamyadabasa tanu samprapya tadphalam nisha mukheshu gadyodha tamasa bhandina graha yatha paapena paakhanda nahi veda kalau yuge shutva parjanya ninadam manduga visrajan gira toshnim shayanam pragvad brahmana nemate asan ulpadavahinyan shudra nadyoni shushyati pumso yatha swatandrasya deha dravina sambada harida haribishashpai indra gobaischa lohida Uchilindrakrachaya Nanam Shrivash Bhurahod Chetrani Sasya Sambadbi Karshaganam Mudam Mudadu Dhaninam Upadavamja Daivadhinam Janadam Jalas Talavagasa Sarve Navavari Nishevaya Abhibradujram Rubam Yatha Hari Nishevaya Saridbi Sangadasindu Chuchube Shasanor Miman Apakayoginas Chittam Kamatam Gunayugyada Girayo Varshadhara Birhanyamana Navivyathu Abhibhuyamana vasanet yatha athokshaja chedasa Marga babhuvasan nigdastrane channahya samskrada Nabhyasyamana shodayo dujai kalahada miva Loga bandushu mekheshu vidyudas chalasauhrada Sairyamna chakrukaminyam purusheshu gunishiva Dhanur vyadimahendram nurgunam jagunyabhad Vekte guna vidigare agunavan purusho yatha Nararajod paschana susva jolsna rajdeer ghaneir Ahammatya basidaya subhasa purusho yatha Mecha Gamulsava Krishta Pratanandan Shigandina Griheshudapta Nurvina Yatha Achulajanagami Pitua Babadaba Padbi Asanana Alpamurtaya Prakshama Tabasashanda Yatha Kamanu Sevaya Sarashashanda Rothasu Nishuranga Abhi Sarasa Griheshashanda Krityashu Gramya Iva Durashaya Jalo Girnirabhidyanda Sedavo Varshadi Shvare Pakandinama Sadwade Vedamarga Kalau Yatha Vimunjan Vayu Pranuna, Budhyodha Mradam Khana, Yatha Shisho Vishpadaya, Kale Kale, Dvijerida, Evam Manam Tadushishtam, Pakakarjuva Jambuman, Gogobali Rudorandam, Sabale Pravishadhani, Deni Womandagaminya, Udho Bharena Puyasa, Yur Bhagavada Huda Durudam Prithyasna Dastani, Vanagasa Pramadida, Vanarajir Matuchida, Jaladara Girnada, Asana Dadrashe Guha. Kujit Vanaspati Krodhi, Guhayam Jabi Varshadi, Nurvisha Bhagavan Demi, Kandamula Bhalashana, Dadyodhanam, Samani Dam Shilayam, Sarilandi, Sampojani Yerbuja, Gobei Sangarshana Nida, Shadal Oberisam Vishacharvadomi Lidekshanan, Truptan, Brushan, Valsadaran, Gascha, Sotho Bharashrama, Pravat Shriyam Jadam Vicha, Sarvabhudamudavaham, Bhagavan Pujayan Chakre, Atma Shakti Babam Hidam, Evam Nivasadostasmin Ramageshavayor Vrajay, Sharasal Samavadrabhyam Swacham Bua Parishanilam Sharada Nirajolpatya Niranim Prakritim Yayu Prashtanam Yojedamsi Puner Yogan Shevayam Vyom Nobdham Buddha Shavalim Buakom Pangamavam Malam Sharajahara Shavanam Krishne Bhakti Yatha Shubham Sarvasam Jaladahitva Virajudrishu Bravarchasa Yatha Tekreshana Shantamuni Yomukta Gilbisha Gireyom Mujustoyam Kuchinna Mujashivam Yatha Jyanamrtam Kale Jyanino Dadade Nava Naiva Vidanshiyamanam Jalem Ghadra Jale Charaha Yatha Ayuranuham Kshayam Nara Mudha Kudumbina Gathavari Jarastava Avindan Sharadarkajam Yatha Dalidra Kramana Kudumba Vijitendriya Shani Shani Jahupangam Salanyam Javirutha Yatha Hammamadandhira Sharira Dishonal Masu Nishanam Brabhu Tushnim Samudra Sharadagami Atmanyubarade Samyam Munirvi Upyuradagama Apuradagama Kedari Bistabo Grihan Karshaga Dadase to be Yatha Prane Sravatyanam Tani Rodhini Yogina Sharada Kam Shijam Stavan Budana Mudubo Harel Dehavimanajam Bodo Mugundo Vrajayo Shidam Kamashobhadanur Megam Sharadumaladaragam Satayutam Yatha Chittam Shabda Brahmartha Darshanam Akandam and Delovyomni Rirajo Duganeshashi Yatha Yidvadi Krishna Pushni Chakra Vrudo Bhuvi Ashlishya Samashidoshnam Prasuna Vanamarudam Janastavam Jahurgopyo Nakrishna Kratachetasa Gavo Braga Kakanaria Pushpinya Sharada Bhavan Anuyamana Subrashai Palayri Shakriyamiva Udakrishin Varijani Suryo Thani Kumudvinam Yadunur Bhayalogo Yatha Dasun Vinandrapa Pura Gramisho Grey Yanay Indriyasham Holsavai Babhobu Bakasasadhyam Kalabhyam Nidaram Hare Vaning Muni Dvasnada Nargam Yartham Prabedire Varsharudha Yatha Siddham Sopindan Kalamagare Idishimad Bhagavade Mahapurane Paramamsyam Samhitayam Dashamaskande Purvardhe Pravad Sharadhurnanam Nama Vimshadayam Udhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam
Govinda Govinda
Ega Vimshadayam Udhyaya Next Chapter 21 Shri Ishoko Vajam Itam Sharal Swachya Jalem Padma Garasugandina Nivishadvayina Vadam Sago Gopala Gochidam Kusumita Vaniraji Shushmi Bringa Dijagula Ushtasara Sarin Mahidram Madhubadira Vagahya Jarayenga Saha Pashupala Balas Chukuja Venum Tad Brajasrayam Ashrutya Venugidam Smarodayam Kashil Paroksham Krishnasya Susakhi Bhyonyo Varnayan Tudvarna idamarabdam smarandya krishna jeshtidam Nashakan smaravegena vikshipta manaso nrupa Barha vidam nadavarabu Karna yogarnigaram vibradvasa kanaka kavisham vajayam Deenjamalam randhran veno radhra sudraya purayan gova vrundeyo Vrundaranyam sabadramanam pravishad gita girti Idi venuravam rajan sarvabhudamanoharam Shutva vajasriya sarvavarnayandyo bhiremire gopya ujum Achrannudam palamidam nabaram vidama sakhya pashu nanuviveshe dorvayasye Vatram Rajesh Sayuan and Uena Justam Irvani be the Manirakta Kadak Shamoksham Chura Pravala Barkastabagol Palabja, Mala Anupatamaritan Vijitravesho, Madi Virajalam Pashuvala Goshkam Rangi, Yatana Davaro, Kushagayamano, Gopi Kimajarayam Kusham Spavenu, Damo the Rathers Dami Gobiganam, Bunte Soim Madavashistrasam Kadinio, Krishata Joshro, Mumuju, Starevo, Yatayya. Vrindavanam Sakipu Vidanodigirtim, Yad Devagis to the Badam Jaleb Dalakshmi, Govinda Vodam and Uttama Yuranutim, Preksha, Drisanu Beradanya, Samasta Satwam, Danyasam Uda Yobi or Indiamedam, Ya Nandanandan Uvata Vijitravesham, Ah Karnevunuridam, Sahakrishna Sara, Pujam the Durbejidam, Prayavalogehi, Krishnam Nirishavani Dorsavarubashilam, Shutuaja Alkunda Vijitragidam, Devi Ovimana Gadaya, Smaranun Nasara, Brashel, Prasuna Kabara, Mohuru Vinivia, Gavas Chakrashnamon Gadavena Gida, Piyushamutamido Karnabudai Pribandia, Shabas Nudastanamaya Kabala, Smatastu, Govindam Alpani, Drisha, Ashurgula, Sprashandia. Prayo Badamba Vihagamani Yovan Esmin, Krishna Chidam Tadidam Kalavanugidam, Aruhe Drumabujan, Dujira Pravala, and Kishurnundi Milida Drisho, Vigadanya Vacha, Nadjastada Tadbadari Mugundagidam, Avartalakshidamano Bhava, Bhagnavigaha, Alinganasagida, Urmi Bujer Murare, Grahandi, Pada Yugalam, Kamalo Baharaha, Drishtua, the way Rajavashun Saharamagobe, Sanjarayandamanuanumudirayandam, Prema Pravardamudida Kusama Valibi Sakurveda So Busham Budam Hatapatram Purna Pulindamurugaya Padabjaragam Shri Kungumena Deida Sanamandidena Tadarshanas Marijastana Bushidena Limbandyam Anana Kujeshu Jehus Tathadim ഹന്ദ്രായ മദ്രിമര ബലാഹരിദാസ വൈര്യോ യദ് രാമകൃഷ്ണ ചരണ സ്പർശ പ്രമോദാം മാനം കനോതി സഹഗോഗണയോസ്തയോര്യ പാനീയ സൂയ വസകന്ധര കന്ദമൂലൈ ഗാ ഗോപൈകൈ ഗാ ഗോപകൈരനുവനം നയതോരു നയതോരുദാരം വേണുസ്വനൈ കളപദൈസനു പുൽസു സഖ്യ അസ്പന്ദനം ഗതിമതാം പുളകസ്തരൂണാം നിര്യോഗമാശാം നിര്യോഗമാശകൃതലക്ഷണയോർ വിചിത്രം ഏവം വിധാ ഭഗവതോയ വൃന്ദാവനചാരിണ വർണ്ണയന്തോ മിതോ ഗോപ്യ ക്രീഡാസ്തന്മയതാം യയോ ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ പൂർവാർദ്ധേ വേണുഗീതം നാമ ഏകവിംശതിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശിശുക ബ്രഹ്മർഷി ഈസ് ഗോയിങ് ടു ടോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് വൺ ഹോൾ ചാപ്റ്റർ about the beauty of Vrindavanam. Vrindavanam's Prakriti Varnana. Prakriti Varnana means the how Vrindavanam looked at that time. Vrindavanam's beauty. One whole chapter, Shuka Brahmarshi, which is the 20th chapter, is for just to talk about Vrindavanam's nature, Prakriti, or the nature there. The beauty is Prakriti Bhangi. Poets all like that, isn't it? How to talk about the Prakriti. They like to discuss Prakriti and explain about the Prakriti in their own poetical way. And it is something which is very difficult to resist for the poets to talk about the Prakriti. You will see here in the if you look into the earlier chapter, that was in the 13th chapter, also you will see this one verse, 59. Sabadyeva abhida pashyan disho apashyal purasthiram vrindavanam jana jivya drumakirnam samapriyam. Vrindavanam jana jivya drumakirnam samapriyam. Specifically spoken about Vrindavanam at that time in the 13th chapter. Vrindavanam janajivya drumagirnam samapriyam. That Vrindavanam is actually a reflection of the Golokam. Goloka Vrindavanam. It's a reflection of Golokam what you see in the Vrindavanam. So Krishna enjoys his pastimes, particularly these childhood pastimes which Krishna enjoys in the Goloka Vrindavanam. A reflection of that Balalila that goes on there for 125 years in Krishna's pastimes in this earthly planet is what a reflection of that what goes on in the spiritual world, in the spiritual world. So Krishna Avataram or Krishna's appearance here, that Krishna's appearance is called Paripurnathamam. Paripurnathamam means that it is complete in all aspects. We have got different kinds of appearances, isn't it? Avatarams. Amshavataram, Kalavataram, Gunavataram. In this way, various incarnations were spoken earlier. Each of them has got its own specialities. Kalavataram, Gunavataram, Amshavataram, like that mentioned before. But then there is Purnavataram. Purnavataram means complete. Paripurnavataram means Brahman, when it manifests with all its beauty and with all its various attributes, everything incomplete, that is Krishna's appearance. Krishna's appearance. So, that means Paripurnathamam. Krishna is called Paripurnathamam. Paripurnam means completely. And nothing is missing there. Everything is there in that appearance. So, when you talk about Vrindavanam, it is nothing but talking about Goloka Vrindavanam. It is Golokam that we are discussing here. And it is those pastimes that is being spoken here. And because of that, if you look in the 21st chapter, he says there that 19th verse in the 21st chapter, Shobramashi says there, Aspandanam Gadimadam Pulagastarunam. Gopis are saying this actually. You'll see. Ga Gobagaira Nivanam Naitorudaram Venusone Kalabade Senubral Susakyaha Aspandanam Gadimadam Pulagastarunam Niryoga Basha Kadalakshanayor Vijitram Kadalakshanayor Vijitram. That in the presence of that Sachidanandam, that means Krishna is Sachidanandam, isn't it? Satachita Anandam. When Sachidanandam is present there, even the most dull matter will have a change. That is why that chapter was spoken. See that? These chapters, which is the 21st chapter, why was it spoken? To tell us that Aspandanam Gadimadam Pulagastarunam Niryogam Pashakrata Lakshanayor Vijitram. Showing to us, in the absence of the pure spirit, Satya Chitta Anandam Krishna, it will have its impact on the nature as well. Nature is generally dull, dull matter it is. But even that matter gets activated due to the presence of pure spirit. Due to the presence of Krishna, how it affected the material nature, Prakriti, which is very dull, how it has changed, that is what that chapter is all talking about, which you see in that chapter. So, due to Krishna's appearance, the most dull form is a rock, isn't it? Stone in the form of a rock. So, even the rock and the mountains and even the dust, particles of dust, the trees, the plants, the creepers, and not only, they are all the dead matter lying there. Then you have got moving and non-moving things. These are all the non-moving things. Even the non-moving things got energized by the presence of spirit, Krishna, who is present there. And at the same time, what has happened to all the other living entities who are moving, like the birds, the bees, the animals, and everybody were all affected due to Krishna's presence there. That was something unusual, not from this world. Alaukikam, Alaukikam means out of this world. So that is what Shukha Brahmarshi is discussing in that chapter. We say also here sometimes that, oh, times have changed, nature has changed, we say our global warming and all these kind of things, what we are talking about, isn't it? But when did Vrindavanam started changing? Due to Krishna's presence it has started changing. That is why when Krishna's appearance happened, the first verse, if you read in the third chapter, what did it say? Atha sarva guno beda kala parama shobhanam. Ekhe evadi janmasham shandaksham grahataragam. The first verse in the third chapter. Sarva guno bedam kala atha sarva guno bedam. That the effect of Krishna's presence was such in the Prakriti that Ekhe evadi janmasham shandaksham grahataragam. The planets have also became situated properly in such a way that everything became favorable to the living entities. Everyone felt extremely blissful and happy with that appearance of Krishna. So, Krishnavadaram happened, Krishna's appearance happened that day, Janmashtami day. From that day onwards, the time started changing. Everything started changing in Vrindavanam. Sarva guno beda. So, sarva guno beda means all the modes of nature have started functioning in a way favorable to the living entities, everything, even for the dead matter. So, you can see that the inhabitants of Vrindavanam didn't complain about the weather. We complain about the weather all the time, isn't it? We say that if a sunshine comes, suppose there is a good hot sun here, we'll say, oh, I thought in the winter we'll get some cool weather. We're going to have a good winter, it didn't happen. If it gets very cold, snow and ice, you say, where is the sunshine? We'll be running after the sun. So this is us. That's our nature. So that's what he's saying here. So, and if it rains heavily, then also we'll curse them. We'll curse the rain, we'll curse the cold, we'll curse the heat. So what to do? So, and if good sunshine comes, we curse that also. He says it's too hot in this country, he will say. So, so we are unable to see in the nature what it does to us, and if there are some positive things, we are unable to appreciate that. And generally there are six ritus. Ritus means the six seasons. But they have, that is how in the Vedic system there is six seasons. Normally we will hear summer, winter, autumn and spring. In that way we follow four seasons here. So in Krishna's time, all the six seasons came on turn, in turn, at the proper time. At the proper time. Knowing well who is present there. Who is present there. And they are all serving Krishna. Because Krishna's childhood pastimes, because of the different seasons, the childhood pastimes hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. That is why you will notice this mentioned in the Bhagavatam again and again. Time means the weather and all that's a part of the time, isn't it? Time changes everything. Krishna's pastimes is Kala Deshava Dibhyam. Time and space has no effect on Krishna's pastimes. Kala Deshava Dibhyam Nurmuktam Nityamuktam. That is the importance. Krishna's pastimes are beyond time and space. Beyond time and space. Time means the effect of the time on us. Effect of the time is that what affects us is generally the weather conditions that affects our activities, isn't it? It didn't affect Krishna and Krishna's pastimes either. That is what he is showing here. And Krishna went even during the different seasons with the cows, cowherd boys, and with the calves into the forest. And because it has rained, it didn't change. He didn't change that. Didn't change that. And similarly, in the summer season also, Krishna acted in the same way. Didn't bother him at all. So, Yashoda Devi used to tell Krishna how hot it is outside. But Krishna says to him, if it is so hot for you, and if you feel that I should not go outside, then when you are giving me the meal while I'm going to the forest, give me such meals that which will cool me down. Weather did not bother him. Weather did not bother him. I will take those food which will cool me down and give me such food. Krishna used to request Yashoda Devi like that. But always, Krishna wanted to be away in the forest with the children, with the other cowherd boys, because he could play as much as they wanted. And they enjoyed bringing food from home and sharing it together and playing together. And his plan was always to come back in the evening. Didn't like coming back in the middle of the day. Wanted to go in the morning, come back in the evening. And that hasn't changed. Going away in the morning, coming back in the evening hasn't changed. So while going in the morning, when Krishna is leaving Vrindavanam and going to the forest, all the gopis will look at Krishna and keep looking at him, and the cowherd men also. And till Krishna disappears from their vision, they'll keep looking at him. And in the evening, when they are coming back, you can see what they say. In the 15th chapter, if you look, Gopyo Dhridrichida, 15th chapter, if you look, how they were looking at Krishna. Tam Gorajachirida Kandala Baddha Barha, 42nd verse, 1542. Tam Gorajachirida Kundala Baddha Barha, Vanya Prasu, Venerujirichana Charyuhasam, Venum Konanda Manugay, Anugida Girtim, Gopyo, the Drachida Bisho, Pyagaman Sametaha. Gopyo Dhridrichida Vrishobhyagaman Drishobhyagaman Sameta. Gopyo, that's all. That's all they wanted. They just wanted to see Krishna coming back from the forest. So, morning, once Krishna goes to the forest, they will get the next opportunity to see him in the evening. That's the only time they will get that opportunity to see Krishna. So, and they will finish up all there. Gopyo Dhridrichida Drishobhyagaman Samedam. That by now, they will finish up all their household duties and wait for Krishna to come back. Krishna to come back. And so, when they were looking at for Krishna, after finishing up all their work at home, they will talk to Yashoda that they will mention to Yashoda that Krishna is coming back, and they will all go to the front of their gates and stand there looking at him. When they were waiting like that, gopis were waiting like that, you could see all these boys and the calves coming back, making a lot of sound and noise, and walking on that dust in the Vrindavanam, all full of dust everywhere in that way. And they're making all kinds of noises. So, so they will say at that time that Krishna is coming back. This particular verse is a form of meditation for Vilumangalam, and twice he has mentioned there in the Karnamudam. One is to one is 226. Godulidu sarida komala kundalagram Govardhano dharana keligrita prayasam Gopi janasya kuja kunguma mudridangam Govindam induvadanam sharanam pajama. Then there is another one, 244. So 226 and 244. More or less the same form of Krishna returning from tending the cows and calves with the cowherd boys. Returning from in the evening, after tending the cows and the calves and with the other cowherd boys, that form of Krishna. Like sometimes people meditate on Krishna, 226 and 244. If you remember that, those two verses. There, interesting thing is, people see Krishna in different forms, is it not? Some people meditate on Krishna's form in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Parthasarathi form, is appealing to them, like Bhishma, appealing to that form, Parthasarathi form. Bhishma Stuti, you will find this mentioned, Bhishma mentioning this, what attracted Krishna's beauty in that Parthasarathi form. In Parthasarathi form, when Krishna presented to Bhishma, when Bhishma's powerful arrows has hit Krishna's body, and fully covered with the dust in the battlefield, and all his hair has fallen off from everywhere, and looking at Krishna's beauty, Bhishma spoke about that in the Bhishma Stuti. Similarly, Vilumangalam got attracted to this form of Krishna returning back from the forest in the evening. That is why twice, without a long gap, he kept pushing that, which is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Godhulidu sarida komala gopavesham gopala balaka shadai ranugamyamanam saindhanam pratigriham pashubhandhanartham gachandam achyuda shishum pranadosmi nityam. I pay my obeisances to Krishna, who is going to tie all the calves and cows back into the goshala, and he has to tie them down and finish up his work. Looking at Krishna's beauty, Vilumangalam got affected by that. So he mentions that in the Karnamudam. In another instance, he says, Godhulidu sarida komala kuntalagram Govardhanodharna keligrita prayasam Gobijanam kujagunguma mudrinangam Govindam induvadanam sharanam rajama. That again he pays obeisances to Krishna, says that the Godhuli means the dust that is coming from the feet of the cows. When they walk through the, apparently when the cows walk through the forest, and when the dust is thrown away by the cow, it has a medical effect as well. In Ayurvedam, it is treated as a medicine where the cows walk through the forest. People do not obviously understand the importance of the cow. But there are, even now, big goshalas, if you look, they produce different products from there. And one of them, many of them are based on this. Whatever cow has touched, it has its medicinal effect as well. So, here, Godhuli. Godhuli is given so much importance in the Bhagavatam. That dust that's coming from the feet of the calves and the cows. Godhuli du sarida komala kundalagram. Because Godhuli has gone on Krishna's face all over. Komala kundalagram. And whole hair is covered with the dust from the ground. Govardhanudhrana geli krita prayasam. That Krishna finds difficult to lift the Govardhana hill. Gobi jana kuchakunguma mudridang govindam. Krishna, who is, when he is embraced by the gopis, that from the gopis' breast, the kungumam of vermilion that has fallen into Krishna's face and body all over. Govinda, that Govinda, Indu Vadanam Sharanam Vrajema. I pay my obeisances to that. So, in twice you will see this mentioned in the Krishna Karnamritam about this particular incident. So, there you can see here that Krishna says, Bhagavatam is saying that dust also, Krishna is completely covered with that dust, and they are actually massaging Krishna's body. So, the time is serving Krishna. Kalam. Atha sarva gunobheda kala parama shobhana. So, kalam or time is serving Krishna. Now, material nature is also serving Krishna through this dust. That's what Shiva Brahmarshi is saying there. The time is serving Krishna. Atha sarva gunobhedam kala parama shobhanam. Erhe vajan janmaksham shandaksham grahadaragam. The first verse in the third chapter. Here, Shiva Brahmarshi is saying, not only the time, the shushrusha. Shushrusha means the service rendered by the time and the service rendered by the prakriti, material nature, both are spoken here. Both are spoken here. And when these children coming back, both the cowherd boys and the calves, everybody coming back, gopis and the gopas, cowherd men and the gopis, they wanted to receive them. And after that, what happens? All house is busy with cleaning and washing the children who had come back from the forest, bathing them, feeding them, and looking after them by the mothers and the father. They are all occupied with this one service. And Sukham Sushudurvade, if you look at the 15th chapter, they are saying that Janani Bhakradam Prasya, that is in the 15th chapter, Janani Bhakradam Prasya Swadvanam Upalalido, Samvisha Varashayayam, Sukham Sushubadurvraje. Sukham Sushubadurvraje, Janani Bhakradam Prasya Swadvanam Upalalido. They wanted to prepare such nice preparations for the children who had come back from the forest. That is why saying it. Swadvanam Upalalido, Samvisha Varashayayam. After that, they wanted to put them to bed so that they could sleep comfortably. And Sukham Sushubhadra Vraje, they wanted the children to sleep comfortably. So, because as soon as it gets brighter in the morning, again they start their next day's journey. So, you will not find Shiva Brahmarshi saying there, in the way it happened in Krishnavataram, going to the forest every day to look after the cows and playing with the children like this. In which other incarnation has it happened like this? Shiva Brahmarshi is asking the question. So says to Parikshit that there is no other incarnation where there is in such an agreement with the nature all the activities are performed. All Krishna's childhood pastimes is so much in unity with the nature, isn't it? Completely in agreement with the nature. That is why Shiva Brahmarshi mentions that here. So, and whole life, if you look into Krishna's life, full of activities. Even if you look into Narasimha Murthy, Vamana and all that, they came for a short time. And then they had one particular purpose, they finished that and they have gone back. Narasimha appeared and after that, nobody wanted to go closer to him anymore. Isn't it? Vamana Murthy appeared at that time with Bali Maharaj Mahabali and Vamanamurthy had that pastime. After that, Vamanamurthy went away, Mahabali also went away. Even in Lord Ramachandra's case, if you look, you will see, at a very early age, Ramachandra had Vairagyam in him, isn't it? Vairagyam happened to him. Due to that, we have got what is known as the Yoga Vasishtam. It has come from that. Vasishtha Maharshi instructing Sri Ramachandra about spiritual life and knowledge of the self and everything at such an early age. But in Krishna's case, it is so different. A very good life in this world, in union with the nature and union with the everything in the nature. Cowherd boys, the calves, the cows, and including all the plants, trees, creepers, everything, had a wonderful childhood in this world with everybody together. And even when Krishna's later pastimes, if you look, as a householder, he was exemplary. As a diplomat, he was exemplary. In everything, in every field, living a full life in this world and teaching the world how to get through this life at the same time. That is why Krishnavataram is significant, particularly now, because of the confusion people have about life, what we are living for. And Krishna is telling us the truth, and above all, after living a full life like this in this world, before leaving this world, giving the highest knowledge to Uddhava. Who else has done this? That is why after Ekadasi Skandam, you will see there, Sri Yuga Brahmarshi pays obeisances to Krishna. Isn't it? Bhava Bhayam Abhandam Jnana Vijnana Saram Nigama Krut Upajahre Bringaval Vedasaram Amrutamudadadischa Payayal Vrityavargan Purusha Khrishabham Adhyam Krishna Samyam Natosmi Krishna Samyam Natosmi. He says, I pay my respectful obeisances to that great personality, Krishna. Krishna Samyam Natosmi. To him I pay my obeisances, who did this, distributing this knowledge of the self after living a full life like that in this world. That is what is speciality with Krishna compared to all other incarnations. Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, all these incarnations, if you look, you won't find much to talk about, isn't it? Malsyavadaram, what happened? You can, in one small chapter, although there is Malsya Puranam, Malsyavadaram spoken in the Bhagavatam is hardly few verses. Varahavadaram is Yajnavadaram, which is also very difficult to completely understand that. In the form of, to worship the Supreme Lord is in the form of a hog. It's a bit hard for many, many people. Listen, if you tell outside people that Krishna has appeared as a hog, see, God is a hog, they will say. How did he appear like that? So, there's a lot of questions like that about that incarnation, Varaham. Then half man, half lion. When you bring the school children and they come and look at that, this is God? They ask you the question. Half man, half lion. And Hiranyakashipu is lying on the lap, completely ripped off with all the nails. And all other incarnations are unapproachable in many ways for the human mind. But here you find, even in Ramavataram you can see, people have also questions still about Ramachandra. But in Krishna's case, after living a life in this world, like an excellent life in this world, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, if you call it as old age, Krishna is never old, but still all that 125 years of pastimes here, and finally while leaving this world fully in compliance with the knowledge of the self, distributing their highest knowledge to Uddhava and walking away from here. Shobhramashi is saying, who else has done this before? That is Shukadeva Goswami's question. He is comparing all of them, all incarnations, and he is saying to us, who else has done this, what Krishna has done? That is why Krishnavataram is particularly important because of this. While living in this world, how to deal with the world? That you can learn from Krishna. When householder goes to Krishna and says all the complaints, Krishna says, look at my prarabdha. Householders are always in trouble, isn't it? For problem with wife, problem with husband, problem with children. If you go and tell Krishna, Krishna smiles at you. Is it very nice when you go and tell your problems to God? God is smiling at you. But Krishna smiles. Krishna says to you that, look at my prarabdham. I have got 16,108 wives. and 10 children from each one of them. Imagine that family. Krishna had no time except sorting out the family problems, whole life. No, we say we have no time for spiritual life. Krishna says, I never had any time for spiritual life. That was Krishna's spiritual life. So, you can look at it this way, that Krishna's pastimes in the Bhagavadam, as a householder, he is saying to Narada Maharshi, that I am not a person who spoke dharmam. I showed it in my life in this world. Acted in that particular way. As a householder, he acted as a purely as a householder. And then finally, when Vairagyam comes to Krishna also, to show to us, not that Krishna got Vairagyam at that moment, but while living in this world, and teaching those who are in this world, who want to come out of this material misery, he spoke Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava. And at that time, when you start looking at Krishna, you can see how Krishna is speaking with a renounced mood. In that renunciate mood, how he spoke that. You will never imagine that he was a householder with 16,108 wives with 10 children from each one of them. But the symptom of that vairagyam that has come to Krishna, you can sense that at the time when he spoke to Uddhava. When he says to Uddhava, and when the whole plan was engineered by Krishna himself, for them, the children, to act offensively to the sages, when they, Durvasa Maharshi and others, curse them that they're going to beat each other and kill themselves, all that curse, when that happens, if you look at Krishna's words there, you will see that renunciation mood in Krishna at that moment. So that is what is expected from everybody else as well. So here, Naumidyade Bravabushe Tadidambaraya. So, when they were living in the... there is no other incarnation where Krishna, where Supreme Personality has worked so closely with the material nature. That is the most important thing to learn from this chapter. We'll continue after a few minutes. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam buddhivardhanam pradipada purnam radaswadhanam Sarvatna sabanam varam vijayade Shri Krishna sangeertanam Nana magari bahuda nija sarva shakti Pidani midha smaralena kala Eda drashi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi Lurdeiva midrashamiha jani anuragaha Trinarabhishunichena Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Madhanam Jalanam Sundarim Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhaktirahai Tugitvai Ayi Nandadanu Jakingaram Patita Mam Shame Bhavambudau Krupayatava Pada Pankajastita Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Padanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulakair Nijidam Kadavabhu Tavannama Grahane Bhavishyadi Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunya Idam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Nami Anshlishyava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Armahadam Karotuva Yatha Tadava Vidada Dulambado So, this speciality with Krishna's appearance and Krishna's pastimes, you can see in the Bhagavadam mentioning very many times, and this is what caused a problem with Brahma. Brahma was thinking, in Brahma's position you can imagine, Brahma was thinking, he is used to seeing Mahavishnu with the crown, and with various expensive jewels and garlands around his neck. And apart from that, he also mentions there that when he saw Krishna, he couldn't believe that this is the Supreme Truth who is present here. That is why in Brahmastuti, if you look, you will find in the first verse, Naumidyade Bravabhusha Tadidambaraya Gunjavadamsa Parivanjalasan Mukhaya Vanyasraje Kabala Vetra Vishana Venu Lakshma Shriye Mrudupade Pashubangajaya. So there itself Brahma's shock. Is this God? He are playing in Vrindavanam like an ordinary child. No crown and none of those expensive garlands what he has in the Vaikuntham, that opulences, none of them there. Seeing a child like this, how could they accept this as the supreme truth? Brahma had a difficulty in accepting Krishna. In Vrindavana pastimes, what you will find there, in the spiritual world, Krishna has got golden earrings and everything. Vrindavana pastimes, instead of golden earrings, it's all from the forest. Different flowers and different buds they have picked up and they were hanging up as ornaments in the face. And all the garlands were vanamala. Vanamala means forest garland. Garlands made from forest flowers. That was used in the Vrindavana pastimes. There was no expensive jewelry around Krishna's neck. So Brahma got the doubt himself. He couldn't believe that this is the supreme truth, whereas Brahma is used to Mahavishnu in the Vaikuntha planet. We are full of opulences, isn't it? So when he saw somebody without any opulence, simply with the beauty of the forest alone decorating the body, he started his Brahmastuti with this particular verse. Nomidya debra vabushe tadidambaraya gunjavadamsa parimincha lasanmukhaya vanyasraje kabala vetra vishana venu lakshmashriye mridupade pashuvangajaya. That this cowherd boy is the truth, Brahma is asking. And now he realized it after getting that taste of that cowherd boy. So he started paying his obeisances to Krishna. But he began the prayers in this way. I pay my obeisances to this cowherd boy who is standing in the forest. Till then he couldn't accept it, that this is the supreme truth who is standing there in that form. So if any look at it like that, Brahma used to see Mahavishnu in the Vaikuntha planet. Conch shell, disc, lotus flower, and club, everything. None of them here. Two-handed form, and instead he has got this stick to tend the cows, the flute in the hand, and then he had this musical instrument which he used to blow. Krishna used to blow that horn that he used to have. So this is what Krishna has got now. So according to the change in the situations, Krishna has also changed all these things. And the time is serving Krishna, and the rainy season also, without causing any problem for their pastimes, continued. And neither the heat in the summer didn't bother them either, and it was also serving Krishna in that way. So altogether, when you look at all the nature in the, all the changes in the nature, so that is Shukla Brahma, she is telling us that one should be able to adapt to that changes in the nature. One should be able to adapt to the changes in the nature. Why? Because the nature's changes, according to how one should adapt to those changes, according to changes in the nature, Shukla Brahma is talking about that in these verses. Whenever it comes to describing the nature, both Shukla Brahma and his father Vedavyasa Maharshi, both of them, that it is not purely describing the nature for them. If you look at Vedavyasa also, and you look at Shukla Brahma also, whenever they talk about material nature, they are not only just talking about material nature. What else? From that material nature, what you have to learn to make progress on the spiritual path, that is more important for them. That's why when you read that chapter, you will notice that this happened similar to what happened for the spiritually minded people. What the yogis did, what the jnanis did, what the devotees did. He will keep repeating that in every verse. We won't go details now because it's the wrong thing. What Vedavyasa is saying there is, Shukla Brahma is also saying the same thing, that these changes, what was happening in the material nature, how it affects a person who is spiritually absorbed, that's more important. In a spiritually absorbed person, changes in the nature, how does that influence him? Yatha harinishevaya, in one verse says there. Exactly like if you are serving Hari, if you are serving Krishna, these changes in the nature, how does that affect him? That's what he has spoken there. So that is the most important thing. Like so many poets describe the nature, isn't it? In different ways. Like you can see, Vedavyasa is expert in describing the battlefield. in the battlefield. He enjoys describing the war. He was the best war correspondent, Vedavyas. Everywhere you will find Mahabharata war and all, while describing that, chapter after chapter about the fighting that goes on. So, Vedavyas generally takes great pleasure in describing the battlefield. Valmiki likes to discuss the nature, changes the nature always. That's why in Ramayana you will find all the way through when Ramachandra was walking through the forest, everywhere description of the nature, description of the nature, description of the nature. Continuously describing the nature to us. And normally we won't look at all that because we don't have any attraction to the nature. So that's our problem. So we are like machines floating around in this world, completely disconnected from everything. Anyway, that's our misfortune. What can you do? So here, that Prakriti, what it has got to teach us in this world, in our spiritual life. So that is why it's mentioned here. So every incident in the Prakriti and Shukha Brahmarshi is linking that to our life in this world. Every every incident in the Prakriti, in the nature, what's happening, Shukha Brahmarshi is linking that to our experience in this world. That is how it is spoken. Look at that verse. The thing is, they are very careful, who? Vedavyas and Shukha Brahmarshi. Instead of telling bluntly on our face what we are, that's what he has done. You can see that. Instead of bluntly telling us what we are, they are using the nature, through nature they are putting it to us in a very mild and a very non-offensive way. Otherwise we won't read Bhagavatam. They know that, but they know our state of affairs, what we, how we are living in this world. So that is why you can see, if you look at the 38 verse, this is one example. There are so, every verse is an example there. Connection with the nature and our life in this world. Ghata Varijara Astapam, it is the chapter 20 and verse 38. Ghata Varijara Astapam Avindan Sharadarkajam. Yadha Daridra Kripana Kudumbi Avijitendriya. Kudumbi Avijitendriya. Kudumbi means householder, who has no control on the senses, and all the time absorbed in the householder life, looking after the house and running the house and feeling great pleasure and success in the success in the family life. There is no higher illusion than that in this world. But it won't get into our head easily. That is the problem. We are thinking this householder life is everything in this world, and having a good family life and a good circle of friends and a good social life, your life is perfect. This illusion is in our head working. Instead of telling bluntly on our face that, he puts it, Gathavari jastara thapam avindan sharadarkacham yatha daridra kribanam kudumbi avijitendriyaha. Avijitendriya, one who has no control, such a householder is considered to be Kudumbi Daridra Kripana. He is miser and he is also very poor. He doesn't know how to think in a higher level. That is his poverty. To think always in terms of the body and the bodily extensions and to feel a great pressure from that is considered to be Daridriyam. Poverty, that is. So that's what he is saying here. So, and if you look into again verse 20, verse 20. Neka agamul savo krishta pratyanandan shikhandina griheshu tapta nirvina yadha achyuta janagame. Griheshu tapta nirvina yadha achyuta janagame. That Shukha Brahmarshi is saying there, plenty of clouds in the sky, and when they come there, the peacocks are dancing, because they know that the rain is going to come, so the peacocks start dancing. And this crane, the birds, they also feel happy because when the rainwater comes, they open their mouth and stand there to collect the water. And Shuka Brahmarshi, you know how he has compared that? Griheshu tatta nirvina yada achyuta janagame. Material life, when you live in the material world, as a family man, a householder, sometimes it becomes unbearable, family life, isn't it? Nothing is working, everything going in the wrong way. So that is a kind of heat that attacks us. Every householder feels that when things get totally gone wrong. So, yatha achyuta janagame, he's saying here, due to material life, due to the heat of that, devotees, when they are suffering from that in this world, by chance, if somebody comes and gives them some knowledge of the soul and makes them aware that spiritual life is real, material life is false, at that time, they feel a little relief from that heat of material life, is it not? From the heat of material life, especially when you study Srimad Bhagavatam or when you're listening to Bhagavatam, you feel a bit of a relief from that material existence, isn't it? So, similarly, Shuka Brahmarshi is saying there that Mekha Agamolsava Krishta Pratyanandan Shikhandina Griheshu Dapta Narvina Yatha Achyuta Jana Agame. This bird Mekha Agamolsava Krishta, when the clouds have come in the sky, the birds felt happy, peacocks and the, because peacocks were suffering without the rain, they were also feeling difficulty, the cranes also. But when the clouds came, they felt a bit of a relief. Similar to the householder, when he is struggling in his material life of maintaining the family and running the family and experiencing the heat of that activities, suddenly you feel in the association of devotees engaged in deity worship and spiritual life and spiritual discussions, how you feel a relief from the whole misery. Shiva Brahmashi says that is how it is. So like that, every single verse in that chapter is connected with our life in this world. Otherwise it is not. Prakriti, lot of poets have discussed in detail in various poems and poetry. It's there. What is significant for us is, like in the nature, how it changes everything, how for spiritually minded people or devotees, how it affects them, those changes. That is what is mentioned in those chapters, in that, particularly in that 20th chapter. So when we are suffering in material life, when we are suffering in family life particularly, it's a big relief when you have an opportunity to hear some Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or something related to Krishna, something related to the truth. How it gives you a big relief inside, you may have noticed. When you have stayed now last 2 weeks without internet, what a big relief it was, isn't it? Few weeks without internet, without newspaper. Although we are talking nonsense a lot, but... But still, the fact that it shows to us that we can live without all these things. Completely, instead of absorbing in the world, how to remain in a state where it is not affected by the unnecessary things. Exactly like the way Shuka Brahmarshi is saying here. So he says here, Achyuta Janagame. Achyuta Janagame means when you have the association with the other devotees. That's what it is. So in other words, when you are in trouble, what you should be desiring for is association of Bhagavatam and devotees, not anything else. When we are feeling the heat of family life. Family life is full of heat, always. It's not different, isn't it? So, and they will free ourselves from that heat. Free ourselves from the heat. So, when the clouds come, peacocks know that it's going to rain now. It's going to rain now. Similarly, the crane, they also know that the earth is going to be feel a bit of a relief from the heat because of the rain. So similarly, when you see devotees and you get their association, even if that devotee is not very advanced, still the fact that the association of a devotee is always relishable. You feel a little different, isn't it? A lot better than seeing the others. Something is there when you see a devotee that you are able to see in him. Something there that makes you feel happy. Makes you feel happy. Even though you may have a lot of problems with them, but it doesn't matter. Still, seeing a devotee is always more relishable than seeing those who are absorbed in the, grossly absorbed in the family life and in the life in this world. So, So when we get an opportunity to associate with them, you feel that relief and the coolness from that. That's what it is showing here. In this way, everything in this Prakriti, Krishna is, Shobhramashi is saying there, different things in our life, it is reminding us. Also it says here, when there is a heavy floods, then all the lakes, tanks, everything gets filled up. And they all come to one. They become one, isn't it? You can see, when it heavily rains in the rainy season, the big water tanks and lakes and the field, they all become one. They are not anymore separated. Only in the summer they are separated. In the rainy season, when it heavily rains, the lakes, the tanks, the field, everything becomes one. And afterwards, when the water all drains away, goes away, and at that time, the fish from the tanks and the rivers, they would have come to the field when it was all together. But when it has gone away, water has got drained, they may not have gone with the water. They would not have gone back to the original place where they came from. So then what will happen? They are not able to escape from the ground. Here the water is draining in the field. Only now you have got lakes and rivers and the tanks separately there. They didn't go. So they will die in the field. That's why if you go and look into the rice fields and all that, sometimes you will see dead fish lying there. How did that happen? Originally there was no fish. Fish came from the water in the lakes and the tanks. When it was heavily raining, they travelled freely and got here. But when the water was withdrawn, when the water dried up, they didn't go back with the water back to the lake again. So they stayed back here. They dried. They died there in the fish couldn't survive there. So they died there. Similarly, Shukha Brahmashi is saying there that in material life also, particularly in family life, lot of things will come, wave after wave. You thought out one thing here, there's another thing. It is a never-ending. Prabhupada used to say that this family life is more difficult than managing an empire, he said. Empire, you don't have to worry so much. You've got people to manage, they'll manage it and it'll keep going. But here, you poke your head into everything, every little thing, and nothing is working. Everything is going opposite way. And then you get frustrated, you get angry, and you get completely lose everything. So you see, he says here, wow, Shukha Brahmashi says here, that, look at the verse 37. Naiva vindan chiyamanam jalam ghada jale jara yadha ayuranyoham chayam mara mudha kudumbinaha. Some strong words used about us, human society, mudha, idiots, he says, kudumbinaha, and householder, proud householder. What does he do? That in this waves of misery that is coming, he's forgetting his real business, why he's here for. He's busy sorting out his problems in life. Throughout life, you're sorting out your problems. Yadha mudha kudumbinaha. Kudumbi is that person who is absorbed in the kudumbam. One who is absorbed in the kudumbam 24 hours, his only business is keeping the kudumbam in order. Yadha mudha nara mudha kudumbinaha. That person is saying here, he is not aware that his time is running out. His time is running out because he is immersed in the ocean of Maya. And while living there, and at that point, water is drying up. That means our lifespan is going out. Lifespan is running out. We are not aware of that. We are thinking of planning for this year, next year, year after, what we should be doing. And then after retirement, every year, what we have to do. This planning mind has gone so far that we can't even think that after death also there is some planning required. You don't think about it. Yadha mudha nara mudha kudumbinyaha. So everything in the nature, it is like that fish, he's saying. Fish who got stuck in the field, didn't go back to its place where it came from. Similarly, for us also, we got caught up in this life, in this world, material existence or Maya, to such an extent that we forgot that our life is running out in this world. We forget that, is it not? That's what's happening to all of us. We are forgetting that business, main purpose for which we had come here. Rishis are concerned, there's only one thing in this life to do, realize the self and come out of this body. That's the only thing they have Krishna has spoken about, the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. And, okay, different philosophical positions, people will say different, somebody will say go back to Godhead, somebody will say go back to Vaikuntham or Kailasam or Golokam, whichever it may be. Or in the Vedantam they will say realize the self. Ultimately, they all talk about only one thing, that you have to come out of this material existence. This is not going to give you any happiness at the end. So whether you realize the self here, or whether you go back to Golokam, Vaikuntham, Kailasam, whatever it may be, ultimately you have to come out of this body. Instead of doing that, if you are busy with the management of this world to such an extent, then Shobhramashi is saying there, you are not much different than those fish who came from the tank and got itself killed in the field and died there. You are also dying in the same way, there is not a big difference. That's the point he's making there. That in the process of living in Maya, while living in Maya, Maya is taking our lifespan. We are not giving any importance to that, instead giving importance to the silly things. Here, what's happening here. So, in this way, that it is very sad, Shukabrahmashi says, that you are not able to give attention to your purpose of life. It's very sad. You can imagine when Shukabrahmashi is saying this, His nature you saw in the first canto, what he is like. Is it not? You remember? You should remember that, because only when you read that you will understand this personality. Look at second canto when he comes in. First time to see... second canto, if you look, I don't have second canto. The personality is Shiva Brahmarshi, who is talking to us in the second canto. Kasmat bhajandi kavayo dhana durma dhan dhan. Those verses. Chiranikim padina jivandi. He is saying that what you talking about, this economic development, is this such a big thing? Yeah. Satyam chidokim kashipo prayaser baho so siddhe ubabrahmanaikim satyanjalokim purudhana vatya dig valkalado sadikim dukulai. When there are ample earthly flats to lie on, what is the necessity of cots and beds? When one can use his own arms as pillow, where is the necessity of a pillow? When one can use the palms of his hands, what is the necessity of varieties of utensils? When there is ample covering or the skin of trees, what is the necessity of clothing? If you look, Prabhupada's heavy purports on that. That is the message from Bhagavatam. And if you do not take all these things on board, then what is the point in studying Bhagavatam? If you are not accepting these things, that is the difficulty also. That the previous verses, there's a lot of them, few more verses. This is the, as soon as he comes in, this is what he had to say. Yeah. Look at this translation. The way of presentation of the Vedic sound is so bewildering that it directs the intelligence of the people to meaningless things like the heavenly kingdoms. Conditioned souls, however, hover in dreams of such heavenly illusory pleasures, but actually they do not relish any tangible happiness in such places. This is condemning the heavenly planets, because quite often in the Vedic tradition itself, people get attracted to heavenly planets and the life there. And in his own mind, he is building up a life in the heavenly planets. Even that is a diversion from spiritual goal, isn't it? Karmakandam has come from that. So therefore, to take us away from that direction, these verses were spoken. So, whatever it may be, that this is the personality who is speaking Bhagavatam. This personality. So, without knowing Sri Shukabrahmarshi's mood, if you try to understand Bhagavatam, you won't understand Bhagavatam. Because this background he is speaking there. As far as he is concerned, there is no problem here. economic development is also a problem we have created. He's saying, you've got the hand as a pillow, you could sleep, where's the problem? Fruits are there in the trees, water is flowing in the rivers, you can drink that, eat the fruits, and live in this world. And he hates it when we go and tell him that we have got all these economic problems. He starts thinking, where is your economic problem? This is how he is coming from. He is coming from that side. And we are coming from this side. After sorting out all our economic problems, we are going into spiritual life. So look at the difference where we are and where he is. From two different angles, whole thing is coming together. And in Bhagavatam, when you read that, that's why when he is saying things, you have to really admire him, that he is trying to tell us in a nice way, instead of getting a little bit more heavy on this. So, So all the incidents in the prakriti, material nature, what is happening, Shuka Brahmarshi is only trying to remind us about the spiritual goal. That's how that chapter is, chapter 20, is written in that way. To remind us of our spiritual goal in life. Intention is not to describe the prakriti, but use the prakriti as a medium to teach us what to learn from the prakriti, changes in the prakriti. So, in this prakriti, Shuka Brahmarshi says there, he's standing there to serve Krishna. So, and gopis are wandering around in this material nature, in this prakriti, wandering around that glorifying Krishna, singing Krishna's glories and wandering around. So naturally, gopis are considered to be the poets in the Vrindavanam. They are the poets because they were able to describe the prakriti in their own way. There are many, many poets all over the world. In every part of the world, there are poets who have written poetry, isn't it? So, but in the Vedic tradition, gopis are considered to be the first poets because of their... Because you remember this word we talked about in Bhagavad Gita. Kavi is a word for poetry. One who writes. Kavi tvam kranda darshina. Kranda darshi means one who can see the truth. He is a real poet. Poet is not someone who writes, for example, you can see love stories. There is so many love stories, isn't it? Written love between man and woman. And the poets have made such a big mockery of the whole thing that love is all between young man and young woman. That's the way they present it to the world. From Shastram point of view, they are not considered poets. They are not considered poets. Poets is an English word. But Kavi word means Kavinam Ushanam Aham, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? That he says, I am Shukracharya among the Kavis, he says. Remember? In the 10th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. So why did he say that? The reason is that Shukracharya was always focused on the truth. Even though you see in that pastime also, his intention was to get Mahabali to surrender to Vamanamurti. He succeeded in that. Therefore, Krishna is glorifying Mahabali there. Sorry, Shukracharya. That is why he says in the Bhagavad Gita, that among the Kavis, I am Shukracharya, he says there. So similarly, so Krishna is looking at a Kavi, not from the point of view whether he is a good poet who have got a lot of knowledge of the words and grammar and compilation. Instead, what does Krishna is looking at a Kavi? From the viewpoint, how spiritually strong he is. How much spiritually he is energized or enlivening. That is what the point he is making here. Gopis were the best poets. Why? Because gopis had the highest knowledge of the self and bhakti in the heart. And therefore, they say gopis were not even educated in the schools or colleges. But they were the greatest poets in Vrindavanam. You remember this? When in the 12th chapter, in the 11th canto, Tena Dhida Shrudagana Nobasida Mahatama Avrada Tapta Sabasa Salsanganmam Upagada. There is a verse there, you can see there. These gopis, Tena Dhida Shrudagana, they didn't study Shastram. No Upasida Mahatamaha, they didn't serve any great rishis or sages. They haven't done anything like that. Avrada Tapta Tapasaha, that they have not executed very severe austerities either. Avrada Tapta Tapasaha, like the rishis do. Salsangamam Upagada, but they reach the highest level of bhakti. How? Through satsangam. That means salsangam with Krishna. That is, in importance of salsangam is spoken. Krishna talks about the gopis in that way in the 12th chapter, in the 11th canto. So even though they were not materially qualified, our problem is we have got all these material qualifications. This is the causing the problem. We have been educated in the wrong way and wrong way to think about things, that it becoming a problem for ourselves now. Whereas gopis didn't have that. They didn't have that problem. Their hearts were simple. They were able to accept the truth very easily. And so what they were flowing through their thought waves in their hearts, that has come through as their poetry. As the poetry through them. And that flow is necessary inside us. If you try to intellectually and mentally write poetry, it will go in another way. But what you experience inside, in your loving relationship with Krishna, if that takes a form in the form of poetry, that is the real poetry. Not the other poetry. Other poetry is all based on mind and intelligence. You have a good command of language and you have some thoughts in your head. You can form a poetry using all that. That is based on mind and intelligence. But this poetry, what Krishna is talking about, gopis, that's why you see that in that chapter, in the next chapter, what you will see there is gopis describing about Krishna's playing flute, isn't it? That is the verse, look at that. When Krishna played the flute, Sarvabhuda Manoharam Shrutva Vrajasriya, gopis heard that. And from then onwards, from verse 7 onwards, right up to verse 19, 12 verses, is gopis are talking. Gopya Uchu. Gopis are talking. So each of those verses are important because it is gopis evaluation of Krishna's playing flute. That's why they are important. That even though they are not materially qualified, they are the people who are qualified to evaluate Krishna's playing flute. Shukha Brahmarshi says, you will notice this in the Bhagavatam, wherever Sukadeva Goswami finds it difficult, don't want to step in, he will make the gopis to speak on his behalf. And that's what that is. Gopya Uchu. He does not want to, because he says, I don't have the qualification to talk about Krishna's playing flute. That I have left it to the gopis. Let them say what they have to say. So, Shukha Brahmarshi's teacher in bhakti is the gopis. So therefore, he will always leave that to gopis to talk about in the same way. So that's what it has happened. So that flow that has come, like the gopi is the heart which has flown, that is proper poetry. This is what's called poetry. So gopis are like that. Without any control of themselves, thoughts are coming inside the heart in relationship with Krishna. And that turns out to be the poetry. And they are talking to each other. They are saying the good fortune of Vrindavanam. And the material nature of Vrindavanam, how fortunate it is. They're talking about big rocks and mountains there. Even they, their good fortune, the rocks were getting dissolved in the playing of the flute, it says there. The water in the flow, water that was flowing in the river, stop flowing by hearing the playing of flute, Krishna's playing flute. The rocks were getting dissolved and the water that was flowing in the river came to a standstill. Similarly, the trees in the Vrindavanam, they were listening to the flute playing. And the fortune of the deer, deer when it listens to good music, it stops. That's how they get caught, isn't it? When the forest hunters, they want to catch the deer, they play good music. And when you play good music, deer get attracted by that and they catch them. Similarly, the peacocks, the cows and all other living entities and even the bamboo trees, the lavender plants and all of them, gopis are saying how fortunate they are to hear this playing of the flute. All of them are standing on the way when Krishna was traveling through Vrindavanam, and they were able to fan Krishna with the wind that was coming through them, and how fortunate they are. They are able to stand near Krishna and look at the rocks there, he says. The rocks are getting dissolved and it is flowing towards Krishna in that way. And cows, better not to talk about them while listening to this Krishna's flute. And they are standing there. And you will see they are mentioned also in the 21st chapter, 13th verse. Gavascha Krishna Mukha Nirgada Venu Gida Piyusham Uttabida Karnabudai Pibandhyaha Shaba Snudastanabaya Kabalasmatastu Govinda Malmani Disha Ashragulas Prashandhyaha Shaba Snudastanabaya Kabalasmatastu Govinda Malmani Disha Ashragulas Prashandhyaha. What happened to them? They stopped eating the grass. They stood there listening to the flute. And normally when the calves come and start sucking the milk from the udder, the mother will lick them. You must have seen that. When the calves come and start sucking the milk from the udder, the mother will lick the cows, isn't it? But cows have forgotten that. So stunned by the flute playing, Krishna's playing of the flute. And normally cows eat and they keep chewing it for a long time. Is it not? They have stopped that as well. Even that has stopped. And when they hear this playing of the flute, all they wanted to do was to just hear the flute playing. And the birds which were flying around, as soon as they heard Krishna's playing flute, they stood there. Wherever they were, they stuck there. They didn't want to move. And even those mother birds who were giving food to the babies, they stopped giving it. And they forget that they have to give the food to the babies. And the little babies also, who were taking the food, they have also forgotten. They are also listening to Krishna's flute. So everybody in the nature, everyone was absorbed in the listening to the flute which Krishna was playing. In this way, the bees, the birds, the cows, the deer, without any difference, every single one of them were absorbed in Krishna's flute playing. Not only that, in the sky, the demigods, Apsaras women, Charanas, Kinnaras, Gandharvas, all of them were absorbed in the flute playing, and and they did not even know that they were carrying flowers in their hands to shower on Krishna. Even that they have forgotten. They were holding the flowers and standing there. Krishna Karnamritam, if you look, you will see what Vilumangalam had to say about this. If you look at the second chapter, last verse in the second canto. This is a famous verse. This verse is so famous. Lokanun Madayan. This is Vilumangalam's commentary on Krishna's flute. Lokanun Madayan. Shrudhir Mukharayan. Shroni Ruhan Harshayan. Shailam Bidravayan Mragam Bivashayan. Govrindamanandayan. Gopan Sambramayan. Munin Mugulayan. Munin Mugulayan. Saptasaran Saptasaran Jirambhayan. Onkarathamudirayan Vijayade Vamshi Ninadashisho. That word Vamshi Ninadashisho. Vamshi means flute. That Shishu, Krishna, whose flute playing, what it does to the nature. That is that verse is talking about. Lokan Unmadayan Shudhir Mugharayan Shroni Ruhan Harshayan. Shailambi Dravayan Mrigambi Vashayan Govrindam Anandayan. Gopan Sambramayan Munin Mugulayan Saptasuran Jrambhayan. Onkarartham Udirayan Vijayade Vamshi Ninada Shisho. That there's Vilumangalam says, we never realized that Nanda Maharaj's son, when he plays this flute, or Yashoda's darling, when he plays this flute, it has such a sweetness, I never realized that, he says. Because what it does is that it attracts everybody. He is asking the question, is Krishna is more attractive or Krishna's pastime is more attractive? That question comes. Is Krishna more attractive or Krishna's pastime is more attractive? That is what he is saying there. If you look at that 21st chapter, Krishnam Nirikshya Krishnam Nirikshya 12th verse. Krishnam Nirikshavanidolsava Rupashilam Shrutvajadal Kunida Venu Vijitra Gidam Devyo Vimana Gadaya Smaranam Nasara Brashyal Prasuna Kabara Muhur Vinivya. Is Krishna more attractive or the flute more attractive? Which one is more attractive? In other words, Krishna's form, is that more attractive or the way he is playing the flute, which is more attractive? After doing, they're comparing both of these things, they came to a conclusion. What is that? That Krishna's flute is more attractive. Playing flute is more attractive than the form itself. Who made that flute as a flute? Because the bamboos in the forest were saying that it is us, we belong to that family, isn't it? Flute belongs to that family. So nobody has ever realized it, that with a flute, Krishna was able to create such a beautiful experience to everybody, that it has affected the plants, the trees, the creepers, the rock, the water, everything in the nature to such an extent, cowherd boys, cowherd gobis, everybody, that they started saying that the effect of Krishna's playing flute is more powerful than Krishna's form itself. Krishna's form itself. And when it starts flowing from that, that the nectar that flowing through that, so, and the beauty of that, whether we can also appreciate that Krishna's flute, playing flute. And then gopis are saying to the bamboos in the forest that you should, because you all belong to that flute family. Gopis saying to the bamboo trees in the Vrindavanam that please talk about us to Krishna. Gopis are praying to the bamboo trees that because you have the closest access to Krishna all the time on his lips, isn't it? So naturally, we don't get that opportunity with Krishna. The flute is more dear to Krishna than all of us. So they are praying to the bamboo trees, you please speak to Krishna about us. I will put our case to him in that way. And similarly, the gopis are saying to all the mountains that when you get yourself dissolved by listening to this music, and when you get closer to Krishna in that process, please talk about us to Krishna. Then the gopis are saying, you talk to the deer and the cows also, that when you listen to this music from Krishna, you get closer to him and start rubbing your body on Krishna's body. At that time, you please speak to Krishna about us. In this way, gopis have noticed the changes in the nature when Krishna was playing the flute. And they are seeing this as that they are all more fortunate than the gopis themselves. Gopis are saying, the rocks, the trees, the mountains, the deer, the cows, the bamboo trees and all the plants, flowers, all of them are more fortunate than the gopis. Gopis are saying like that here, there are many, many people in the forest. It's not only the gopis who are present there. Only thing is, the tribal people, there are also categories in that, isn't it? We are saying they are all tribal people, we are very civilized and advanced. But if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, they are more advanced. That it is there in this chapter, you can read it out, that verse. What they are saying is that among those women who are present in the forest, gopis are the most civilized ones among them. Abhijatyam, aristocratic, more aristocratic. Among them, they are more aristocratic. Now, here, you see, say here, if you look at the last verse there. Not the last one, 17th verse. Sugar Brahmarshi is saying here, Purna Pulindya Urugaya Padabjaraga Shri Kungumena Daida Astanamandidena Taddarshana Smara Rajastana Rushidena Limpandya Anana Kujeshu Jahustathadhim. These women, who Pulinda women, Purnaha Pulindyaha Urugaya Padabjaraga, they are women in the tribal women in the forest. These tribal women, naturally they have a hesitation to come closer to the civilized people, so-called civilized people. So when they come, when the tribal women, they were listening to Krishna's flute, and naturally they were feeling hesitation to go closer to Krishna. So what they did was, after Krishna's walked past, they'll go and take the dust from the ground and put it on their body. They decorate themselves with that thing. So, they are saying in their language, in the forest they are seeing two people, one very dark and one very white, Balaram and Krishna, isn't it? They are saying, when we see these two people, we forget everything. Gopis are saying, they are more advanced than us, than gopis. When we read all these things, what we have to understand is, the less complicated your mind is, the more advanced you are spiritually. If your mind is filled with all the garbage in this world, and then you want to understand spiritual life, it's very, very, very difficult. Those simple women in the forest, who are like the tribal women, what we call as the tribal group, there's tribal women, Purnaha, gopis are saying, they have such a simple heart that when they talk about Krishna and Balaram, with the respect they talk and with the love they talk, even we can't express that love towards Krishna. In spite of such close of a relationship, association with Krishna, they, tribal women, always maintain that distance of respect to Krishna. And that is what has taught gopis a lesson. Gopis learned a lesson from them. Gopis felt sometimes pride in their heart. They never felt any time any pride in their heart, in spite of the fact that they had association with Krishna. That is why, the less the pride, the higher you are in the spiritual life. The more the pride, the more sophisticated you are, the more in trouble. Spiritual life becomes very hard. And that is why Sugar Brahmarshi is bringing them all out and telling us, look, he belongs to that category, Sugar Brahmarshi, isn't it? Doesn't believe in all this nonsense what we are talking about. Purna Pulindya Murigaya Padabjaraga Shri Kungumena Daida Stana Mandidena Taddarshana Smadarjastrana Rushidena Limbandya Ananakujeshu Jahu Stadhadhim. that he's saying there that when we see these two boys walking around, we get completely absorbed in that. Completely absorbed in that. We don't have that. They are admitting. They are saying there. What are they saying? They are saying, we don't have this freedom to go closer to Krishna, to associate with him, and to enjoy Krishna's form, or to enjoy Krishna's flute, and to do something for him. We don't have an opportunity, because they know their position in the forest. They are so humble, and their relationship with Krishna also, when they see Krishna and Balaram, they are feeling a great happiness inside. So then he is saying there, gopis are saying, if all these people who are much more closer to Krishna, if they bless us, gopis are saying, we will have also an opportunity to associate with Krishna. This is how gopis are talking about them. That is why it is so important. This is gopis situation. And with all these things happening in Vrindavanam, with these experiences, they decided that unless there is blessings from Sri Parvati, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. And they were seeing the truth that this Purna, Pulindya, all these, you know that verse, Kirada Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasam, Abhira Kanghaya Vanakasadaya, in the second canto. That Pulindas are generally considered to be from our point of view, from a lower level. They are not Brahmanas, they are not highly educated, they are not very civilized in that way, living in the forest life, but simple at heart, but closer to Krishna. So here, after studying all of them, gopis have come to one conclusion. If we want to have Krishna, we have to please Sri Parvati. And that is why that they started praying to her. And it is with that prayers the next chapter begins. This is all these flute playing, Krishna's childhood pastimes in the forest, everything has created an impression in the gopis. And they started realizing, to get closer to Krishna, unless we have the mercy from all these great souls, the Pulindas and Purnas and all that, it is not going to happen. So it is at that time Shuga Brahmashi is going to talk to us about gopis' worship of the Sri Parvati, Parvati Devi. And from 41 days onwards, then they started this service to Sri Parvati. And that in that beautiful environment in the Vrindavanam, they have stopped all other activities. And today, Sri Parvati is worshipped in many, many temples, in different forms, isn't it? The beginning of all this is from the day gopis have started this worship of her. And associated with this Sri Parvati's festival, other festivals have come up later. Like you can see, Garba dance and all is a variation of that. Later on in the society, it has developed in different states, in different forms. So, so those great devotees, what gopis have started at that time, that developed over a period of time in different forms, in different societies, in different ways, and in the form of art, in the form of dance, in the form of music, and in the form of literature, and in many, many different forms, it came out in this world. And that is how it has become spiritual. And that's why it says there that all of those is nothing but a reflection of the original gopis' service to the art and music. That is what has transformed in different forms. Knowingly or unknowingly, it has become popular in different ways. And in everything, you will see one thing there, that gopis are showing to us their relationship with Krishna and their mood of worship through this service to Sri Parvati. That is what is the next two chapters, 22nd and 23rd, which we will discuss next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.